15-25 to order. Would you all rise for the flag salute, please? With so many people, it would be nice to really hear the flag salute done very loudly and forcefully.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, everybody. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Bladyshefsky?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Ms. Troll?
Here.
Ms. White?
Here.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager, any special orders of business?
Not tonight, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Manager. We have before us the approval of minutes. We have regular meeting number 2015-24. Is there any corrections to this meeting?
Already turned in, Mr. Mayor.
Were there any substantial or just minor?
Very minor.
Okay. Anybody else? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got to find where I marked it. There were just several moments of question about in the, under the liaison reports, page 26 of the packet number page 26, and it was under Assembly Member Troll said something next meeting with a question mark, and I thought there was a date there, but I'm not sure. Perhaps she could provide that. But page 28, under my comments, second paragraph down on page 28, says, I would like to see all the projects on the DOT's list regarding if the Assembly was making a request. I'm not sure that was exactly how I phrased it, but I said that I wanted to see all the items on DOT's list, including the Auk Bay Bypass. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. You've got enough of that, Madam Clerk? Ms. Troll, do you want to fill in the spot there that you kind of missed, or
the
do you
date,
remember?
I can look back in here. It would have been, the next meeting would have been September 14th.
Okay, are there any other corrections to those minutes? Is there any objections to them being approved as amended? Seeing no objections, they are approved. Regular meeting number 2015-24. Madam Manager, do you have any agenda changes for us?
Yes, please. I'd like to add under staff reports an update on the Gastono apartment bids.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Okay. Anything else from the manager?
No, thank you.
Okay. Our next item on the agenda is public participation on non-agenda items. And we have a couple of people signed up here, so we'll just start forward with them. If you would come up here as I call your name, sit in the far chair there, give your name and address so that the clerk can record it, and then give us your testimony. And it looks like Mr. Patrick Owen, you said you're not going to testify on anything. Mr. Barrett?
No.
Nothing? Okay, so we're down to two. So Ms. Hicks, you're first.
2 minutes?
We can do 3 minutes here at the beginning of the year. Okay.
We'll set one right here.
Oh, you have something there. Okay.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm Sandra Hicks. I live at 3645 Cordy Boulevard, and I'm here to talk about the rampant rabbit problem in my area. Since 2013, it hasn't been too bad. Since April and May, we've had anywhere from 3 dozen to 5 dozen rabbits running around the 40 Boulevard, Long Run, McGinnis, and Gee area. To the fact that I'm here to present to you, ma'am, my bill for $3,200 for the cost of surgery for my dog because of the rabbits that have been running around that neighborhood. I have talked to Gastineau Human Resources. I have talked to the Fish and Game, and nobody seems to know what to do because they haven't had any direction from CBJ as what to do with the rabbit problem. In talking to Gastineau Human Resources, the animal control officer, she said they've had quite a number of complaints, especially since April and May. On that bill, you will find also all the emails I sent back and forth between Gaston Human Resources and the animal control people. Fish and Game gave me marten traps to catch the rabbits with. That's like giving me a mouse trap to catch a bear, because marten traps do not catch rabbits. They have to be much bigger. The rabbits played around the marten traps. They frolicked in front of the marten traps. They reproduced in front of the marten traps. It's funny to people that are watching the rabbits running around, but on August 25th, my dog, who has always been leashed and was firmly tethered in my front yard as I was mowing my yard and giving it up for the summer, apparently two rabbits ran behind me when I wasn't able to rush to get rid of them so that she wouldn't run after them. She is a 9-year-old Carilion Bear dog, one of the most gentlest people you've ever known. She broke her tether and ran after these rabbits, ran across the street, around the house, and into a depression by the neighbor's driveway, where she snapped her ACL. She completely destroyed her meniscus and damaged the anterior ligament that's on the inside to hold the knee together. The veterinarian said it was one of the most traumatic injuries he's ever seen of that sort. I live on a pretty much fixed income. I do work full-time, but I did not have an extra $3,200 and some. I had to take a loan out to pay for this. She is now in her 3.5 weeks post-recovery, is starting to use her leg, and at this time, I'm letting the city know that I'd like to have some recompense for the cost because of the inattention to this by the city.
Ms. Hicks, just sit there for a minute in case we have questions, please. And just to start off with, if are these domesticated rabbits or are they the wild?
These are rabbits that somebody let go in the Stephen Richards trailer park, from what I hear from the hearsay around. I've lived in this house since 1997 and had never seen rabbits until about 2013.
It's just so everybody understands, the rabbit population goes like this in the Mendenhall Valley, but because of nature.
These rabbits are so prevalent that we have tourists coming to see the pretty bunnies in the neighborhood.
Okay. Oh, are there any questions for Ms. Hicks? Seeing none, thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mr. Mike Clemens?
Mike Clemens, 8676 Dudley Street. There's some handouts. I'll be brief. Property taxes is what I want to talk about. In the old days, when you got your property tax bill, you also got notice of how much state aid was received by the city. Now they come separately. And so what I'd like the city to do is, when they send out the property tax bills, put the state aid on the back so people can connect them, okay? Because if the state money doesn't come through, your property taxes are going to more than double. That's point one. And I've got more to say, so please read the handout. Second thing I ran across in looking at taxes is I came across a 25-year-old report that I think would be appropriate to update. It's called Financing the Future, Reality and Opportunity in the Capital City, a mayor's task force on fiscal policy. I haven't seen anything similar. I would like to see it because I think there's a problem, and the problem is discussed in my handout. The last thing I'd like you to do is to think about the mill rate cap. Currently it's 12 mills. When people start leaving Juneau, property values are going to drop. And, you know, you get revenue by multiplying assessed valuation times property value. And so I'm not real good at math on my feet, but we're going to bump into that 12 mil ceiling, and that's going to be a problem, because when it gets ugly, the city's going to need all the financial levers it has. Those are the 3 points I made, and there's a handout there for you to read, along with a lot of references that are far beyond my capability to answer questions about.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Is there any questions for Mr. Clemens? Seeing none, thank you very much,
sir.
Thank you.
Those are the two that were signed up that wanted to give us public testimony on non-agenda items. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on a non-agenda item? Seeing none, public testimony is closed, and we will move forward to the consent agenda. Is there anything on the consent agenda changes other than ordinance for introduction that somebody in the public may wish to pull? Consent agenda section. Assembly requests for consent agenda changes. Seeing none, Madam Becker, assembly action.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the assembly adopt the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, so approved. So if anybody's following along in your agendas, we just adopted all of the consent agenda in one full swoop. And next, we will be moving towards public hearing. Madam Clerk, could you please read the title for Ordinance 2015-41B?
An ordinance amending the Uniform Sales Tax Code relating to the senior citizen sales tax exemption.
Thank you. Madam Manager, report.
Based on recommendations from both the Assembly Tax Exemption Review Committee and the Finance Committee, this ordinance would amend CBJ 6905045, Senior Sales Tax Exemption, by limiting the exemption to purchase of essential items defined as food, heating fuel, electricity, and CBJ water and sewer utilities, except as to those seniors with a gross income at or under 250% of the federal poverty level established for Alaska. On July 30th, 2015, the Finance Committee addressed two significant implementation policies and recommended the following. The ordinance should define essential food items based on the federal food stamp SNAP definitions of food items, and two, as to those seniors with a gross income at or under 250% of the federal poverty level established for Alaska, the ordinance should provide for an annual rebate. The rebate amount would be the estimated amount of sales tax that would be paid by the average qualifying senior for non-essential purchases. The ordinance would have an effective date of January 1, 2016, to allow time for senior citizen education and merchant implementation, and in order to allow the Finance Department sufficient time to plan for the implementation and administration of the program. Version B of the ordinance, up for public hearing tonight, makes the following revisions from the version introduced on August 31st. Number one, it fixes a typo error, changing the word are to is in section 6905-45B, page 2, line 2. Number two, it changes the eligibility criteria in 6505-046B to remove the age requirement. And this is necessary so as to not unintentionally exclude spouses or partners under the age of 65 who hold a valid tax exemption card from obtaining the rebate. And that can be found on page 4, lines 4 and 5. Number three makes an additional amendment to existing text by changing the word invalid to disabled in 6905-04-445C, page 2, lines 4, 7. Number four, 6905-045G, page 2, lines 12 through 16, was amended to clarify that only the sales tax for utilities to the cardholder's principal place of abode are eligible for the exemption. Number five, amends the rebate amount being proposed from $225 to $325. 6505046A, page 3, line 24. And number 6, amend 6905046B3 to clarify that the eligibility is based on the qualifying applicant's gross income and not household income, page 4, line 7-10. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And we will move forward. Is there anybody else that you needed to say anything about the ordinance before we move forward to public comment?
Not at this time. We have staff available to answer your questions
okay.
at the conclusion of public comment.
And is staff in our conference room in the next door, or where are they at? In
staff here? Is next door in sales tax office.
Okay. Okay, good. So if you need to stop me or pull me down, do that so we can get everybody in who needs to comment and say their word. Any questions from the assembly members? We're going to do 2 minutes, try to keep everything moving forward a little bit here. And I expect everybody to treat each other with respect and true decorum here. There's no reason to yell at anybody, to swear at anybody, or to threaten anybody. We're here for concern because we all love our community, and we all want to do what's best for our community. Each one of us may feel a little bit different about some different things, but I know that we all, along with all of you, truly love our community and are trying to do the best for it in this particular topic. So we'll start right out and get going. 2 minutes each. Ms. Helen Clow is first on the list. Malene Babcock is second. William D. Armand is third. So if we can get the next two up, standing over here along that wall, then we'll be able to move forward right quickly. Okay, if everybody will shuffle down a little bit so we can fit the speakers up against the wall there. Thank you very much. Okay, Ms. Clow, good evening. Your name and your address, and then you can say your 2 minutes.
My name is Helen Clow. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and my husband, Roland Young. We live at 1765 Menhall Peninsula Road. We strongly object to changing the sales tax exemptions for seasonal residents age 65 and older. We believe this is unfairly targeting a segment of the population who have planned their retirements with certain benefits in mind. I think there's other places that the borough can save money, both through reductions in services and being more efficient use of personnel, more efficient collections of the taxes that are paid. For example, in July, when I paid my very modest sales tax on a rental, it was over 3 weeks before my check was cashed. I came in to see what was going on, and there was a pile of papers, of checks this big sitting in the office out there that hadn't been deposited. Even in these days of no interest, that's a lot of cash sitting around. You know, and I think there are many things the city could do. I'm not going to belabor it. Also, no matter what one's income level is, I don't know anybody that's retired that's making the kind of money they made when they were. The sales tax break helps with the cost of living for many, you know, seniors who now have reduced incomes. Information provided by the city says our population is growing, those of us over 65 is growing. And it seems like a positive benefit for community. I know my husband and I spend hundreds of hours working on for nonprofits at no pay for the city and doing other things and volunteer service, as do many of the people in this room. I know a lot of them. And we contribute a lot to our community. We retired with certain benefits in mind. And I think, you know, trying to balance the budget on the back of very few citizens is not fair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Clow. Any questions for Ms. Clow? Seeing none, thank you very much, ma'am. Ms. Babcock, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Mr. Mayor. I'm Elaine Babcock, and I live at 17525 Point Lena Loop Road. I'm a lifelong resident of Juneau. Having been born and raised here, I returned after higher education in Oregon and Fairbanks to work at the Osei Laboratory, where I retired in 1997. I am here tonight representing the local chapter of National Active and Retired Federal Employees. Our local chapter currently has 118 members. For those of you on the assembly and the staff and who can hear me in the room and upstairs, some of you might think that federal retirees are fat cats on generous pensions. Let me paint a financial picture of some of your neighbors and fellow Junoites. As shown by 2014 data supplied by the Office of Personnel Management, there are 8,138 federal retirees in Alaska. The average annual annuity of those for those retirements is monthly $2,553. Let me repeat that. $2,553 a month. Considering that, you can also expand that easily into a year. The proposed 250% of the poverty guideline requirement for a single person exemption.
What's happened to the sound box? Please stand by.
So what that tells you is that this proposed ordinance will mean more than one half of your neighbors who are federal retirees will qualify for that.
Wrap up, Ms. Stepa.
Okay. I am saying that the procedure for the hardship exemption is demeaning to people who are otherwise proud to be residents of the general, and we implore you to reject this ordinance, or at the very least, table actions on it, giving the assembly and the public a chance to become more fully informed regarding the implications for the stakeholders and a realistic estimate of the cost of administering these changes to our current law. Thank you
very much. Thank you, Ms. Babcock. Any questions? Seeing none. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Merrill, can you turn the volume up on that mic, please?
We'll try so we don't get it squeaking.
10, 11, 12,
13. Mr. William D. Armand, how are you tonight?
Very well, thank you, Mr.
Good.
Mayor. I am William D. Armand of 17525 Point Lena Loop Road in Juneau, 1956 graduate of Juneau High School. I would like to pose a question. If means testing is proposed to identify old people, I detest the word seniors applied to us. Seniors are still in high school. Identify old people as eligible for sales tax relief, what moral and legal reasons are there that it would not be similarly applied to all residents, regardless of age? If lower income old people need such relief, then certainly so does a couple struggling to raise kids on the income of tourist industry jobs or the like. When they get better jobs, they can pay full sales tax. Another question, instead of trying to squeeze more money out of the sales tax system, why not consider and implement a municipal income tax? It is done in some places, usually as a percentage of federal tax. That would mean lower sales taxes for all, and it could keep the exemption or partial exemption for old people. A final question. Where is the local business and the chamber in supporting old people on sales tax relief? I haven't heard a peep out of them. And local business will be among the losers if people shop more online or move south to where the living is cheaper. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. DeArmond. Does anybody have any questions? Thank you, sir, very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Tom Rotin.
Hi, Tom Gugtan. My wife and I moved down from Haines, I think, about 32 years ago. We've lived in Juneau ever since. Just want to urge you one last time to please not do this. We've had a terrible process, in many respects an insulting process, and you're disenfranchising, really, the seniors who are most able to to have alternatives, to use Amazon Prime or buy a $99 airfare to Seattle or whatever. I think in the end, what's really being broken here is your ability to ask seniors to help you when the economic dislocation occurs, where we have to find a post-petroleum economy throughout Alaska. And I think also the victims here are the Juneau merchants, because they provide jobs, they pay property taxes, and they have no way to fight against Amazon Prime. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Bolton? Seeing none, thank you. After Ms. Bolton, we have Rosemary Matt, Julia Miller, and Ron Somerville.
Talk right into it.
Hello, I'm Kathy Boutamp. I live at 15635 Glacier Highway. Yes, I'm related to that fellow who just spoke to you. The decision in front of you is huge. The proposition has made a lot of seniors angry. You might be saying to yourself, I didn't sign up for this. And indeed, you did not. The Assembly shouldn't have to have this big burden placed on it. Instead, I urge you to put these ideas to the vote of the people. Instead of placing this on your backs, the backs of only 9 people, let the whole borough decide. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? Seeing none.
Thank you.
Ms. Rosemary Matt. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Rosemary Matt, 990 Mendenhall Peninsula Road. I've lived in Juneau for 44 years. I'm a voter, a volunteer, a taxpayer, and a senior citizen. I'm against the removal of the senior citizen tax exemption, and I would ask that your vote would support keeping the exemption. Instead of trying to persuade you, I'm going to offer a solution to save money. One way to save is to start a WaterWise or Water Saver program. It costs money to treat water and wastewater. Water treatment is a penny a gallon, and wastewater treatment is 3/10 of a cent per gallon. Older toilets that are not low flow toilets are wasting water. Toilets can be easily fitted with water saver items that cost less than $10, and each flush will save 1.5 to 2 gallons. Cost savings, 1 toilet, 5 flushes a day, 1 year, at 1.5 gallons a flush is a little more than $35 a year. That's based on 1 toilet. Converting 5,000 toilets or 5,000 people using toilets that have been converted would save $178,000 a year. But wait, all homes are not single occupant, and all homes do not have just 1 toilet. And I believe there are more than 5,000 older toilets in Juneau, so your cost savings can increase. This is fast, easy, immediate, and a long-term solution to saving money. So please pursue cost-saving measures that are not destructive. Destructive is taking money from senior citizens. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Matt. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Julia Millar, good evening.
Thank you. I just fell in the toilet. My name is Julie Millar. I've lived in Juneau since 1978, and I live at 45 Jim Prospect Way. I was lucky enough to I was lucky enough to have retired with a full pension from the state of Alaska in 1997. When I retired 18 years ago, my utilities cost $2,050 a year. By 2013, those same utilities cost me $3,045, an increase of 45%. Keep in mind that this does not include expenses for fuel oil, internet, cable TV, insurance, telephone, food, and other necessities. During the 16 years that my utilities increased by 49%, my retirement income increased by only 23%. During that same period of time, my IRA lost 62% of its original value, and I wasn't spending it. My point is that many of us well-to-do seniors worked, saved, and paid taxes for most of our lives, and even with careful planning, our income does not increase by the same ratio as our expenses escalate. Sadly, we have little opportunity to improve our financial situation unless we win a lottery. Paying an additional 5% for what we buy in Juneau makes a big difference to us over time. I donate to many local charities, and if I face the choice of buying food or donating to a charity, I would choose food. Getting a rebate at the end of the year would not help if I'm hungry now. The only way I'll be able to pay more is to reduce what I spend. Isn't that what we should all be doing?
Ms. Millar, thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, Mr. Ron Somerville?
I have two handouts, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Assembly members. My name is Ron Somerville, 4506 Robbie Road in Juneau. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, and we moved to Juneau in 1979. I'm testifying in opposition to the proposed ordinance. My principal argument is that this tax is unfair, similar to what Julie Millar just said. Juneau seniors are the only residents getting a tax increase and one of the least able segments to absorb the new tax. Contrary to popular belief, most seniors are not wealthy. Some seniors have been retired in Juneau for 30 plus years while taking advantage of the tax exempt benefits. During that time, they have become dependent upon senior benefits because they've had to absorb up to 40% cost of living increase on a generally fixed income. Nobody else in Juneau, other than the very low-income citizens, have experienced such a large proportional decrease in their disposable income. What are the alternatives? I'm presenting a table illustrating the concept of raising the qualification age for the tax-exempt benefits from 65 to 70, something that this Assembly adopted not too long ago. If the city is only going to target seniors specifically, I recommend that your second option be to phase out the tax exemption for new qualified seniors over time. In summary, I support the recommendations of the Juneau Commission on Aging, which recommended reissuing cards, which you've done, keeping the existing system in place, and raising the qualification age from 65 to 70. Misinformation is abundant. Everyone on the staff and Assembly keeps saying that the proposal covers the tax exemption for food. That isn't true. It only applies to SNAP food and SNAP food stores. The public is really confused about that particular issue. The data concerning the annual increase in cost due to new seniors is elusive. So far, we have seen a range from $200,000 to $400,000 from the city and the Assembly. Seniors at or below the poverty level income would continue to fall. Oh, on September 2nd, CBJ indicated seniors at or below the poverty income level would continue to qualify for 100% of the existing sales tax exemption. What does that mean? It implies that nothing is changing. This issue is perceived as a punitive by Juneau seniors. It's likely that unhappy seniors will significantly reduce their volunteering and contribution towards community service. I only have two sentences.
Go ahead.
I have lived here for 35 years while volunteering and donating to my community service program before and after retirement. If this passes, I will no longer contribute time nor money. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Somerville. Any questions for Mr. Somerville? Thank you, sir. Rick? And then we have John Cooper, Margaret Hedges, and Catherine Gitkoff.
My name is Rick Iannolino. I live at 12175 Mental Health Loop Road, South Bay, and I'm a new member of the CBJ Commission on Aging. Comment on this, of course, this program. And I want to thank the Assembly for the many, many hours and hard work that you've done on this. I coordinated the Juneau FSD.
Robert, could you change the mic a little bit position so they're speaking right into it?
Yeah. Right into the end of it, Rick.
Okay, is that better?
No. You need to speak right into the end of it.
What?
You need to speak right into the end of it.
Right here?
There you go.
Is that better?
Okay, thank you. I coordinated the Juneau FASD Diagnostic Clinic for almost a decade here. Many of our clients were grandparents struggling to pay for their rent, buy food, and cover other necessities. Some of them had adopted two or three grandchildren or relatives with other disabilities, including FASD. At least 10% seniors, as you know, nationally are raising children, and probably in Juneau a larger percent. Many are contributing substantially to their older children's support and housing. Both benefit the larger community. We live in a diverse cultural community where it is not uncommon for grandparents to help house and support their extended family members. I'm proud of our seniors who sacrifice for the benefit of their families and community. I urge each member of the CBJ Assembly to consider grandparents and older relatives struggling to hold their families together before finalizing the current Juneau Senior Tax Exemption Program recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none. Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Welcome.
My name is John Cooper, 8183 Threadneedle. I've been here for 40 years, 5 months, 5 days, and by now it's about 8 hours. 38 years ago, I talked to this body when they were proposing a sales tax for the Second Eagle Crest chairlift. It was made very clear that Eagle Crest was going to become a self-supporting entity. Well, I don't know what happened, but it has never gotten even near that. And I don't think the people voted on that, Ms. White. We voted for it to be self-supporting. We didn't vote for the tax exemption. So what's the correlation between what the Assembly does and what the people vote on? I think if you want this to have some impact and some meaning, you need to bring it to a public vote. But it almost got to a public vote to put a property tax cap on. Mr. Clemens is right. You've got some real problems. You're not going to solve them on the revenue side if you intend to keep a community. You're going to have to cut some costs. And I think before you go too gung-ho, Eagle Crest, swimming pools, ski rinks. When I was a kid, we didn't have Parks and Rec to clean up the ball fields. We did it. Just because there are kids in this community doesn't mean that I should pay for their ball fields or their skiing. I object to that. I have many times objected to that. I continue to object to that. I hope you can start thinking about budgeting according to the money you have available and quit grabbing for more. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Any questions for Mr. Hicks?
Yes, one.
So if you would not do that, please. It just takes up time for people who wish to speak to us.
Just one question for Mr. Cooper, since he addressed me by name when he was talking about Eagle Crest. I've never strapped on a pair of skis.
That's
so I don't know why you addressed me by name, but...
Because I read one of your emails to somebody else. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
So when you come up and address us as a group. You don't need to pick out individual one of us. Miss Hedges, Margaret Hedges, next. After Miss Gitkoff is Craig Orsborn. And after Craig Orsborn will be Mary Ann Vandecastle. Ma'am?
My name is Margaret Hedges. I live at 17805 Point Lena Loop Road, and I've spoken with most of you in the last week, and I thank you all for having returned my calls. And I think you pretty much know where I stand. But I just really would like to reinforce to everyone that I don't feel like us seniors are getting a free ride. I think we pay our way. Those of who can afford it, those who can't, will get a break. But I do think most of us seniors do pay our way. We pay property taxes, way more property taxes than our houses were originally worth. And, you know, we don't all want to leave Juneau. So that's. I just want you to really, really think about how much the seniors do contribute to the city of Juneau in taxes, in our shopping here, and in all of the many volunteer hours. I work more hours almost than I did when I worked full-time and got paid as a volunteer at different places in Juneau. And I'm not alone by any means. In fact, I'm not nearly as much as a lot of people do. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? Seeing none, Ms. Kitchcock.
Good evening. I'm Catherine Gitkov. I live at 2245 Meadow Lane. Like many of the others who have already spoken, I'm Alaskan, born, bred, you name it. And I take great pride in being an Alaskan and living in Juneau. Getting older didn't really appeal to me except for two things. One was getting a hunting and fishing game license for the rest of my life, which is wonderful. And then 5 years later, getting a sales tax exemption. It's great. It's really helped us to live here. And I look around here and I know it's made a big difference. And I can go on with the others have said, but taking pride in living here, and we do contribute a lot. One of the things I have a question for the assembly is, why did we go through getting new cards if there's a moot point? I'm sure that wasn't free for the city to do. Another thing I want to point out is the Gatineau Humane Society is now having their annual pet calendar contest. Every year, my dog's picture has been entered and she's placed. I have worked very hard being her campaign manager and soliciting a lot of money for the animal shelter. For example, what's going to happen? This evening I have asked several people here if they would vote for my dog, $1 per vote. The city, if you take our sales tax exemption away, these people will not contribute, and they are not alone. We will not be collecting money and donations to all the causes because we're such a benevolent city. We will not get that money from people donating because we're going to feel it more in our pocketbooks. So I really encourage you to think about this, think about it deeply, and remember, you're going to approach this age before long. Some of you are already there. Think about it, and please don't squeeze us out of town. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gitkov. Any questions?
Thank you.
Seeing none, thank you very much, ma'am. Mr. Craig Orsborn, then Mary Ann Van Castle, and then Mike Clemens.
My name is Craig Orsborn, and I live at 8483A Thunder Mountain Road. I'm a 45-year resident of Juneau, and I oppose the removal of the senior sales tax exemption. Seniors have lived, worked, raised families, and some are now raising grandchildren, and have paid taxes for decades, and are still paying taxes today. The Juneau cost of living has significantly increased, however, seniors are on fixed incomes. Senior citizens freely volunteer their time, gas, and often their money toward nonprofits, including but not limited to the local churches, Glory Hole, Gatineau Humane Society, etc., which directly benefit our communities. Support our seniors so they can continue to support us in a valued way. We've heard several times that the removal of the senior sales tax exemption is necessary to help cover the fiscal shortfall. The city was serious about saving money. They should start by looking internally. One example, the hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue spent on new equipment that DOT won't even allow to cross the Lemon Creek Bridge. Junior seniors should be allowed to retain their earned sales tax exemption so they can continue to reside where they have invested in homes, raised families, and established lifelong friends and supported our local merchants. And remember, our seniors are the greater majority of the voting public and will be watching how each one of you vote.
Thank you, Mr. Orsborn. And I shouldn't get into this. You know, we all grew up here, and we all love our community, and so we all bring to the table different aspects. We all had grandma and grandpas or moms and dads, and so we all respect each other that way, and some people have different viewpoints. So just so everybody understands, is there any questions for Mr. Orsborn? Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your testimony. Ms. Vandecastle, then Mr. Clemens, then Mr. Tom Perkins.
My name is Mary Ann Vandecastle, and I live at 2721 David Street in West Juneau. I'm speaking as an individual tonight, not a representative of any group. As you know, Juneau is undergoing an unprecedented increase in the number and proportion of seniors in its population. But far from being a liability, this development has the potential to be a great economic asset to the community. So the recently adopted Juneau Economic Plan appropriately includes an initiative to build the senior economy. As possible declines in state spending materialize, Juneau will be able to turn to the retirement industry to make up much of the slack. This industry is non-polluting, spends locally year-round in all economic sectors, and its spending has a higher-than-average economic multiplier effect. That is, the money seniors spend locally is circulated multiple times within the economy, unlike, for example, the money a tourist spends in a gift shop owned by a cruise corporation. Other cities and states advertise to recruit seniors in recognition of the highly desirable qualities of this industry. We have had the good fortune of growing our own senior industry. To glimpse the significance of this development, I suggest you visit any local retail establishment or restaurant during a weekday. Places that were virtually empty 15 or 20 years ago during daytime hours are now teeming with retirees. However, austerity policies, such as the proposed change to the senior sales tax exemption, present the risk of sabotaging this growing sector of Juneau's economy. Many communities, states, and countries have followed an austerity path since the global financial crash of 2008, cutting back on programs that support vulnerable populations. The results are in. Austerity does not work. These programs tend to reduce the size of the economy in question, producing unintended results such as lost jobs, lower inventories, businesses closing their doors, and possibly even sales tax receipts overall. I've got a couple more paragraphs.
One more sentence.
Okay. Please reconsider the proposed ordinance.
Thank you, Ms. Van de Castle. Any questions?
Mr.
Oh my God, Jesse Keel.
Thank you. Ms. Van de Castle, you were on the radio, I think, the other week, and I apologize that I didn't get a chance to call you back after that because I wanted to make sure that you had gotten clarification that there's no change being made to the medical care being sales tax exempt. That remains exempt for everyone. And I wanted to make sure that someone had the chance to clarify that.
Yes. I think the point being made in that particular instance, though, was the interviewer asked about a veterinarian bill, a large bill for his dog, and he's a senior. He was basically making the point that medical bills for either ourselves or our pets can be very unexpected and very large, regardless of whether or not they're taxed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Thank you, ma'am. Okay, we'll move to Mr. Mike Clemens. Tom Perkins next.
I'm Mike Clemens, 8676 Dudley. I'm in support of the ordinance. September 30, there will be a Centennial Hall event, which will provide an opportunity for people to learn exactly how bad the state's financial situation is. In my opinion, we're driving off a cliff just like Thelma and Louise. It's not going to be pretty. The reason I support this ordinance is because it's been around and it's a convenient target. But elected officials need to look at the whole picture. I mean, there have been budget cuts already. Those are going to hurt. You need to look at municipal income taxes, like the guy said, seasonal sales taxes, change in property taxes. It's going to get ugly. There's going to be a new normal for Alaska state and local finance. Representative Munoz, I believe, is doing the September 30 thing. So I think it's in the evening, but watch the Empire to check it out. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for Mr. Clemens?
Just a clarification, it is September the 30th. It's from 6 to 9 at Centennial Hall, and it's not just Representative Munoz. It's a diverse group of Junoites.
Right, I know. It just, her name was the only one I saw attached to it because it's hard to keep track of all this stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Perkins? Then Dixie Hood, and then Ms. Graves?
Well, I'll start off by telling you that I've lived here 58 years. I came here the year before statehood last century, and I retired 22 years ago, and I choose to stay here because I love the area. Besides, my son still lives here. And I moved recently, 7 years ago, to a condo. And I don't know whether you know how many of the seniors live in condos. I'm sure quite a few of them do. But when they pay a condo fee, they're already paying your bill. And did you take that, subtract that out of your computations? I'm paying a condo fee of $588, which includes water, sewer, garbage, oil. And I know I'm paying, I know they're not taking any tax out of that. They're just, it's, I'm paying just a flat fee on that. And I don't know how many of them are done that way. There's quite a few condos in town. You might want to check into that to see just how many people are already paying this bill that maybe you're overcompensating for what you might be losing. And that was the main gist of my statement. But you might want to check to find out how many of the seniors live in condos and how they're paying. It might be a bit of work digging all that out because there's quite a few organizations now. Oh, by the way, I live on 1890 Glacier Avenue, Aurora Arms condo down there. And it's real nice. I moved out of a house. I lived in a house in the valley for 35 years. And I paid everything out there. But now I'm living in the condo. And I think you ought to find out how many people are living in the condos and whether they're affecting you as much as you think they are.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins. Any questions? Thank you very much, sir. Ms. Hood?
Good evening. My name is Dixie Hood. I live at 9350 View Drive. And I think that the assembly has made extraordinary cuts in programs and personnel and that efficiencies have been developed. And I think that they've done best in that situation. I have followed the process, the issue of being sales tax, both the member and the committee, and a concerned senior for the 19 years that it has been challenged in one way or another. I believe I attended the recent Finance Committee meeting where I believe the Assembly members worked very hard to balance the need of seniors and the CBJ budget problems. I think they did a good job and I support their proposal. As a single woman with no pension and seeking multiple part-time jobs besides my private practice as a marriage and family therapist, I would never, ever threaten to leave Juneau because of an exemption change. The resulting, I think, $1.2 million revenue is needed, and Juneau is a special place. I hope to live here forever or until I can no longer live alone. Thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you, Ms. Hood. Any questions for Ms. Hood? Seeing none, thank you very much, ma'am. Marcus Graves. And we're just about halfway through, and the next one will be Sarah Wilson, Lewis Hennep, and Howard Shepherd. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is Marcus Graves, G-R-A-V-E-S. I live at 303 Gold Street. First of all, I question the savings that's projected by the Assembly by imposing this ordinance on seniors. I like to call them my elders. I was raised to respect them as many of you have. But I don't think the Assembly realizes the amount of work and manpower it takes to verify income. I do it on a daily basis. I would just throw that out to you. There are communities throughout Alaska and the lower 48 that compete to attract elders with their pensions, retirement income, and equity. tinkering with the senior tax exemption will effectively further open that door. If you pass the ordinance tonight, it doesn't mean all the seniors are going to leave Juneau, but they have families throughout the state and outside the state that will help them leave. There are two types of elders, those who are on a fixed income and those with expendable incomes. Changing the exemption will negatively impact both groups. Elders on Medicare are an economic engine for our local hospital. Drive elders away and the hospital will lose dependable sources of income and the effects will be immediately noticed. Both groups of elders invest in this community, support local businesses. As others stated, they will purchase high-ticket items elsewhere, their cars, their big screen TVs, and put them on the ferry. And how is that going to affect our local businesses? Petersburg, Ketchikan, and Sitka have chosen not to tinker with the senior tax exemptions, and they also maintained the exemption for eating out at restaurants. I think we should be doing the same. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Is there any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Ms. Sarah Wilson? Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Sarah Wilson. I live at 1890 Glacier Avenue. And I think the senior sales tax exemption does not meet the requirements of a good tax. It does not raise revenue, it's not fair, and it's not easy to administer. The issue tonight that we're here to discuss, however, is only composed of two items. One, should seniors continue to be exempt from sales tax on food, utilities, and something else I can't remember. Fuel, okay. Anyway, I think that exemption fits the cultural values of Juneau, the values that we respect our seniors. And I can go along with that one, so I would support that one. But the second part, the rebate, doesn't sit well with me because of the fact that it's not only seniors that are living on limited incomes. The young families, the young parents with children who are too busy to be here tonight to express their opinions, they're also paying the sales tax. So my suggestion would be tonight that the Assembly table this idea and discuss it and continue to think about other alternatives. There are several, and since I now have a few seconds before my 2 minutes goes up, I'll talk about a few of them. One is to stop issuing the senior citizen sales tax cards effective December 31st, 2015, or some such date. Those people that never had the senior sales tax exemption, well, they were used to paying the sales tax. So that's one idea. I do have a few nerdy comments about the information on page 69 and 76, where it appears to me that people will get sales tax rebates in 2016 based on their 2015 income when they were not paying sales tax. Again, a nerdy comment. And another nerdy comment is I think the administration time is entirely too low. Calculating it out, it looks like the estimate is 5 to 10 minutes for each application. I don't think that's realistic. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. Any questions for Ms. Wilson? Seeing none, thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Ms. Lois Lennep, you can correct me when I get up. I can't quite read the last name if you wish. Oh.
Lena.
Oh, okay.
You got it.
I guessed it. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you. And I'm Lois Lennep, and I live in downtown Juneau at 230 South. I'm Lois Lennep, and I live in downtown Juneau at 230 South Franklin. And I was just... It seems to me as though that if we have to fill out the exemption forms, for one thing, it'll be extra red tape, and some of us already have extra red tape concerning our income And there's people also who apply yearly, like for food stamps or for AHSC assistance for their housing. That's more paperwork and red tape that one may have to tend to, especially a senior. And also, I think to me the sales tax exemption is very helpful if you have to make also other important purchases like clothes and other absolute necessities beside food and things like that. And I was wondering also, would we have to keep track of our purchases? That's more paperwork. And one important thing, I think, and I think it was mentioned before, is that one thing about having your sales tax exemption card is that the money can be saved right now, and if you're in a very fixed income and kind of living close to the line on that, that this can come in handy for things like food and other necessities, very important things. And because it means that from paycheck to paycheck, you can estimate what you're going to have, and can make an important difference.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Is there any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Howard Shepherd, Nora Lachlan, Joan Trimble, and George Trimble.
My name is Howard Shepherd from 8108 Poplar in Juneau. The initial exemption was established in December of 1979. When that was done, the seniors were referred to as a valuable asset to the city. These two words have not been mentioned by the city during any of the comments about the senior sales tax exemption. The city, it seems, no longer views the seniors as a valuable extension, a valuable resource, a valuable asset to the city. With the loss of 5% of spendable income, many people, myself included, would have to make cuts on volunteer work that they do for the city. Gasoline tax was not one of the exemptions allowed or proposed on this current deal. The seniors provide a very large amount of outside revenue to the city. The seniors are job creators. They bring friends, relatives into town to spend money in the city. The sales tax exemption encourages seniors to reside here. I wonder if our city is prepared to see the sustainable source of revenue leave Juneau. I wonder if the business community is prepared to see the revenue source leave town. Juneau's is an expensive place to retire on a fixed income. I know myself personally, I'll be looking for a cheaper place to live. That means moving away if the sales tax exemption is removed for the seniors.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for Mr. Shepherd? Seeing none, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Can I just ask if that microphone doesn't seem to be on as hot? I don't know if people are still having. Can you all hear still? No, they can't. My mic seems to be hotter than that mic. I just don't know. You can't turn it up. Okay.
Turn it up. If I turn it up more, there's feedback from the.
Okay. Okay. If everybody could.
Is it on the back side?
There we go.
There we go.
It's on.
Is it working now? Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Ms. Laughlin, go ahead.
My name is Nora Laughlin. I live at 2300 Old Lawson Creek Road over in Douglas. And I love the words he just used, the valuable asset, because I am a valuable asset. I retired in 2007 here in Juneau, and when I did, as a federal employee, I immediately lost off the top 25% of my income before my annuity was calculated. So my income went down tremendously, and it wasn't high to begin with. I had a two-year window in which to move south back to where I came on federal expense. I went down. I spent a lot of time down south. I made a conscious decision to stay in Juneau. I love Juneau. You're absolutely right. I love Juneau. But part of my calculations involved the sales tax, which I would be getting. And since I'm retired, a tremendous amount of things have happened to raise my expenses while my income did not. I mean, it just hasn't risen at all, to speak of the annual cost of living that the federal government has given me has not kept up with the amount that my health insurance has risen. So it, in essence, has gone down. I sold the place I lived and moved into a cheaper place. I want to stay here. I really do. And I am a valuable asset. I volunteer at nonprofits, and I don't, you know, I use the word I, but I'm not the only one. Look at these people. This is frustrating that so many people can come before you. I hope you're listening, because other people would like to be here, and they're not here. The Juneau Convention Visitor Bureau, it's so ironic, is staffed almost entirely by retirees. The amount of hours we put in and give to this city are phenomenal. And you want to balance the budget on our backs? Come on. I volunteer. I do free taxes for people, seniors and low income, during tax season. And I volunteer in nonprofits. I mean, I'm not the only one. That's what seniors do. We are valuable assets. Please don't take away our exemption. Thank you.
And Ms. Laughlin, I just want to assure you that this assembly knows how valuable you seniors are. There's no doubt in my mind. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens here. But thank you very much for all your services. And I know everybody here helps out in every way they can. So it's very much appreciated. Ms. Joan Trimble? Nora Laughlin?
That was me.
Okay, that's right.
And George, someone was...
No, it was Joan. Joan Trimble or George Thornble? Joan or George? I'll go back up to him in a minute. Richard Monick? Kay Mel would be next. Melissa Highfill and Sophie Lingle. Go ahead, sir.
My name is Rich Moniak. I live at 1900 Fritz Cove Road. And as someone earlier said, we all are going to be facing an increase in our tax situations. Juneau sales tax rate of 5% includes a temporary taxes of 3 and 1%. They've been in place so long they seem permanent. But every few years we get to vote on them. And in the past 15 years we've approved extensions more than half a dozen times. Granted, some of those voters are among today's seniors. But to suggest seniors are the only ones being subjected to a tax increase is to ignore how the rest of the community has continually supported local government by voting to tax themselves without passing the buck to anybody else. Every one of those tax extensions continue a regressive policy that hurts low-income Juneauites more than most. It will continue to do so. Unfortunately, there is no tax that is universally fair. I'd be more willing to support a property tax increase in homeowners and businesses, and homeowners include me, but I'm pretty sure there would be a far bigger crowd arguing that's unfair, too. I believe the changes to the senior exemption are reasonably fair in that they exempt essentials and recognize hardships for lower-income seniors. Therefore, I support the changes to the senior sales tax exemption. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Monick. Is there any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Is Joan or George Trimble here yet? Okay. We'll move on to Kay Mel. Melissa Heifel afterwards.
I'm Kay Mel. I live at 850 Basin Road. With all due respect to those affected, this ordinance is fair and essential for the city and borough of Juneau to continue to deliver the services that it does to all its residents. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any questions? Seeing none. Melissa Heifel, welcome.
My name's Melissa Heifel. I live at 5894 Pine Street in Juneau. 8 years ago, the Coast Guard decided Juneau would become our home. 5 years ago, I started Seaside Yarns. 2.5 years ago, we decided that Juneau would be our permanent home, and my husband transitioned from active duty to the reserves, and we're staying put. I'm nowhere near senior age to be able to be tax exempt, but my business depends on senior money. Seniors with valid exemption cards make up 10% of my business. I can't afford to lose up to 10% of my business by people shopping online, having things delivered for free, and not paying sales taxes. I try to educate people to see it here, buy it here, and keep me here. Seniors know the value of that. I urge you to please not take away their exemption.
Thank you, Ms. Heifel. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, ma'am. Sophie Lingle? Welcome. Ken Kelch is next.
My name is Sophie Lingle. I live at 9135 Parkwood Drive. I would just strongly ask that the Assembly leave the existing tax exemptions as they stand. As many people have already stated, the seniors in Juneau have contributed lots as far as donated time to the community, and they are very valuable people and have also contributed lots of money for living here for years on end. The second part of my comment is that I've read the paper once or twice in my life, and I saw every year that there's a lack of property taxes that have been collected. One person individually should get some kind of a trophy or an award that he has gone 10 years without paying a dime of property taxes, as well as many other people that have gone 4 or 5 years without paying any property taxes, and it seems like, and also sales tax that have not been collected for years and years for certain businesses in town. So I think that the burden should not be put on seniors to make up the shortfall in the budget, that somebody should take the bull by the horns and go after a lot of the past property taxes and sales taxes that have not been collected. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Any questions? Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Ken Kelch. I'll go back up the list here to Gene Trimble or George Trimble. We're not done yet. Page 3. We have Arnold Liebelt. Ms. Liebelt, Mr. Liebelt, are you here? Janice Hotch. And then Mike Donahue. And then Steve Suwing. Thank you, ma'am. Good evening.
Hi. My name is Janice Hotch. I live at 8317 Aspen Avenue in Juneau, and I've been a homeowner since about 94. Still waiting for Aspen Avenue to be paved, by the way, but repaved. But I'm here as the president of the Juneau Clinkett and Haida Community Council, located at 3235 Hospital Drive. I represent 7,000 Clinkett and Haida tribal citizens. Of the 7,000, 5,000 are adults, and of the 5,000, 4,000 are elderly. So as I sit here, please imagine 4,000 people standing behind me. I've had numerous elders ask me to represent them and their concerns with regard to this topic. I strongly object to the proposal, as I believe it is unfairly targeting a population. I was told in speaking to the CBJ personnel today on the telephone, I was told that while it's not on the table today, removing the property tax exemption for seniors will be brought forward in the not-too-distant future. So I strongly object to that as well. Again, I believe you are unfairly targeting a population. I very much like the idea of a previous commenter to put this issue to the voters. Let them decide. We have so few Tlingit speakers left, about 80. We have only 5 Haida speakers left. They're all our elders. They are our link to our cultural survival. We cherish our elders. We don't want to see them leave. We need them here. Please support our valuable assets, a lot sitting in this room. And do not pass these changes to the senior tax exemption. Gunish Chish.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? Ms. Crane.
Just one comment. The senior property tax exemption is a requirement by the state. Even if we wanted to do something, we cannot. So
thank you.
That is not on the table.
And we're not talking about it in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you. That's great. Let's, Mr. Kelch, I say you came in the room, and then after Mr. Kelch, Mr. Donahue, and then Steve. Okay. I'll get back around to the papers. Thank you very much.
I had time to rewrite this twice as upstairs. Ken Kelch, 1586 Evergreen Avenue. I oppose the proposed changes to the senior sales tax exemptions. But when the testimony is over, the assembly will address the ordinance, talk about how difficult it is for them personally, then probably pass Ordinance 7-2. In 2000, school district experts urged the assembly to prepare immediately for a tsunami of 1,000 to 1,500 new students in Juneau. After spending over $100 million in 2 high schools later, Juneau's public school enrollment has instead dropped by over 650 students. Now the experts are predicting a geriatric wave for Juneau. The experts say that seniors will go from 10 to 18% almost immediately. Did the tsunami of high school students morph into senior citizens? Today, seniors add greatly to the financial backbone of Juneau's churches, art organizations, and charities. Seniors provide child care for their families and extended family. They volunteer in classrooms and at the hospital. They deliver meals on wheels. Seniors comprise most of the volunteers at the visitor center, at the airport, and docks. They do this for free. Saying that the CBJ is providing services that seniors are not paying for, actually, the CBJ is getting services from the seniors they are not paying for. If older people, as a percentage of Juneau's population, are perceived as a problem, why not work to increase younger age demographics to offset seniors? Construction building projects support younger demographics. Work is ending on the State Museum and the Brotherhood Bridge. Why not support some large projects like building a road? I got 2 requests, and I'll end. If this passes, work on the effective date as July 1st, 2016. And if this passes, please do a mailing to the holders of the senior sales tax exemption cards explaining the changes. A lot of them are going to be surprised. And the CBJ does have our addresses. Thank you.
Mr. Kels, did you jerry-rig the red light so that the horn didn't go off?
No.
Is there any questions for Mr. Kels? Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Kelch. Mr. Mike Donahue next, and then we will go to Arnold Leobelt.
Good
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Mike Donahue. I live at 18228 Point Stevens Road. I've been a resident of Juneau for over 70 years. The reason that I appeared at the meeting tonight was to voice my opinion that the sales tax exemption should be left alone. And that's why I came. That's all.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Donahue? Seeing none, thank you very much. Mr. Arnold Leibelt.
Good evening. My name is Arnold Leibelt. I live at 1301 Fifth Street in Douglas. I'm here in support of the changes for the ordinance. You know, I heard a lot of discussion tonight, and like the previous speaker, I also had to rewrite a lot of my talking points. I see this as a community issue. I don't see it as a senior issue. I know the senior population is a population that is impacted by far the greatest. There's no disputing that. But I also see how the Assembly came to this conclusion. And when you look at the demographic changes, those numbers can't be disputed. They might be off a margin of error, and I can see that. But I see this as a community issue. When I look at the numbers for the population projections from the Department of Labor, the population over 65 is going to increase 120% by the year 2037. The population right behind that, 25 to 64, the tax-paying working class is going to go down 12%. If we continue to see the elimination of positions at the state level, which will be most felt in Juneau, I think that's going to be much more than a decrease of 12%. The numbers are what's going to drive this budget, and that is what I'm not hearing tonight. And I would like to have more attention to that. I think the change is modest. I don't think this is a huge change. I know there's arguments to be made on both sides. I don't dispute that. But I don't think the change, if I could have all the food I purchased for my family of five exempt from sales tax at Costco, boy, that'd be great. I'm paying full property tax for a four-bedroom home. The working class is strapped. Husband and wives both work. They're putting their kids through school. Sports programs are getting cut. So now we're out there doing the fundraising and writing more checks. And so I would just like a little more sympathy. It is really, really hard to make ends meet for the middle class. And so when I see these numbers here, it's not a measure of disrespect. I have a mom and dad. They're in their mid-80s. I love them dearly. This isn't us against them, and I wish we can get away from that. There has to be a community solution. And this isn't going to fix it by any means. I know that. This is one piece. There's no silver bullet. This is one piece. Yes, we have to downsize CBJ. Yes, programs will have to be eliminated. And yes, everyone, including my family and I, will have to make sacrifices. But when everybody takes a little bit, hopefully we'll get to the solution.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We will move forward to Mr. Steve Sewing. And after him will be Mary Lou Sparks. Frieda Westman. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the Assembly. I'm here in support of the ordinance. Full disclosure, I do have family that lives in town. My parents just turned 65. And they do qualify for the exemption, and I think they'd be very proud that I'm here tonight giving my support for this ordinance and being involved in my community. I've been here in Juneau for 6 years, and I definitely appreciate the decades and decades of experience in this room tonight and the opinions voiced, because it's made Juneau the place that it is today, and I'm happy to call home. If I didn't own a piece of property in Juneau right now, there's a good chance that I'd be interviewing for a job somewhere out of state. Looking at the current fiscal situation of the city and the state, I find myself wondering if I bought that piece of property a little too soon. Having said that, I'm committed to Juneau. I pay the full amount of the value of my property tax, and I also pay sales tax for a family of four. I think I could quickly make the argument that I actually pay probably more than the average family of four in sales tax because we shop locally every chance we get. Oftentimes we drive way out of our way to make sure that we're supporting local businesses. I think to get rid of the exemption across the board would have been the wrong decision. But as the Assembly went forward with the process, I think that they've been very available. They've been very honest about what's coming down the road, and they've made this decision with a lot of thought and a lot of wisdom. I keep on hearing tonight that we're getting rid of the sales tax exemption, but that's not what the ordinance says. Within the period of about 5 minutes, I could find a family of two working adults that make below $49,800 that would love to have an exemption. I value the seniors, and I'm happy that in the 10-year economic development plan, we're going to try to keep as many seniors here as possible. But at the end of the day, to take care of our seniors, we need bus drivers, we need nurses, we need doctors, we need police officers, we need firemen, and those folks need to have a job, a good-paying job, that's going to allow them to live in Juneau as well. So I support the ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Ms. Sparks? Frieda Westman is after Ms. Sparks.
I'm Mary Lou Sparks. I live at 415 Willoughby. And I'm delighted to be here this evening, so many interested people, and to be able to appear before the Assembly. Thank you, Assembly. I endorse many of the things that have been said, and I am on the Commission on Aging for Juneau, although what I'm saying here is as a private citizen. I worked on the position paper we presented to the Assembly for the Commission, and I support that. I just wanted to make sure, because we are not just in Juneau, we are in the state of Alaska. And at this point, the state of Alaska is struggling with how to go forward financially. We all know that. We're going to be seeing some high-level gatherings this fall to discuss this. With that in mind, I think we should be very cautious about moving forward until we have some kind of understanding of where the state is headed. There are two options that have been touted in the newspaper. One is personal income tax. The other is statewide sales tax. This is a way to provide perhaps a quick and dirty way to raise revenue. I don't know what this is. 2016 is an assembly, is an election year. Having that in mind, I don't think anything is going to happen with this legislature. But I don't know, and I don't know what other things might come up. There are a number of things in the legislature right now to be considered. Having said that, I think we need to take our time as to what we should do with this ordinance until we have a better understanding of what the sales tax, if it does come in, the statewide, would affect us. I thank you for listening to me, and it's a good evening for all of us. Thank you.
Good evening. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Ms. Frieda Westman?
Good evening. My name is Frieda Westman. Thank you for listening to me. I'm here as the Alaska Native Sisterhood Grand President. I'm also here as a citizen of Juneau, have been born and raised in Juneau. I have four children. One of them is moved away for 15 years, moved back here, is staying with me. Got a job, have a grandson. That wouldn't happen She wouldn't be here if I wasn't here, so I just want to put that out there. I have another child who works at the mine but lives in Homer because of the his wife's ability to have an education for a nursing program, was not able to get into the nursing program here in Juneau, did that in Homer. So there are things that draw people to Juneau and things that push them away. And when I speak about, that's from my own personal side of things here, but when I speak as the Alaska Native Sisterhood Grand President, if there is going to be red tape attached to this exemption that is proposed, that is going to hurt the very poorest of the seniors, because those are going to be the ones who will not turn in paperwork to get an exemption. That's just going to be out of their realm. People have to give up magazine subscriptions. They have to give up certain items that they were used to buying in order to survive. And I hope you will keep that in mind, too, that it is going to be the very poorest of the seniors that will be affected. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Westman? Seeing none, thank you very much, ma'am. I'm going to try this name, and if I've got it wrong, please correct me. Thalas Vongilman? Vongilum? We'll move forward to Elizabeth Saya. You don't want to speak? Okay, thank you very much, ma'am. Dennis Herrick? No, Dennis Harris.
We know that guy.
Dennis. You have to write your last name a little bit better for the mayor. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dennis Harris. I'm proud to be the third generation of my family to reside at 544 West 12th Street. I purchased that house when I had a choice. I could either let the estate sell the house or I could buy it. And I made the choice because my roots are here and because I took a hard look at the various tax exemptions I would get if I retired here in Juneau. I'm not going to be able to retire, even at age 68 now, I'm not going to be able to retire for another 5 to 10 years. So I'm a working senior, and there are a number of us here in this town. That doesn't mean we have more money. It means we're trying to save because we don't have money for our retirement yet. And it's hard to do that. But I have consistently voted against sales taxes ever since I started voting in city elections. I have always voted no on every sales tax because it is regressive. And in that I agree with Mr. Moniak. I think that you need to look at the entire tax system, stop depending on sales tax, and look at other taxes that aren't quite so regressive. Quite frankly, we should be paying a gasoline tax to pay for maintenance on our roads and streets. That's what should do it. It's not the people that take the bus. It's not people that ride in a taxi that are causing damage to our roads. And commercial vehicles should pay a higher tax because of the damage they cause to the roads. And the same thing goes with other things that we're paying for with sales tax. I think that we should get away from using sales tax. It's horribly regressive on poor people, no matter whether they're seniors or not. And I really wish this exemption, if you're going to structure it this way, would be for everybody to pay sales tax. But quite frankly, I think you ought to get rid of sales tax entirely. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Any questions for Mr. Harris? Thank you, sir. And I will try Phallus Bungalan. I'm going back through my sheets here and trying to pick up those we Joan Trimble or George Trimble. Those are the only three that we haven't picked up. Is there anybody else from the public who wishes to? Well, there you go. That was that last one that I called, wasn't it? Von Kuhlemann. There you go. You're welcome to come up.
I live on Lena Loop Road, and I drive my grandson to school at Out Bay School, and I see those 10-ton trucks with full of rocks. $11 million worth of rocks. These are $11 million projects. Remove the project, and we don't need that elimination of our taxes here. That's number one. Number two is we are not organized. If we organize, and I will do so depending on this outcome, if we organize, we have enough people in this city to eliminate any of you people. I mean, eliminate vote lines. I don't mean
yeah. Okay. Thanks for clarifying. Thanks for clarifying.
Anyway, because you seem to underestimate the numbers we have. My wife and I, we have 4 children, 3 live here, we have grandchildren. We can get at least 50 votes against 4 or against any of you people who run. And I just want to make you aware of it. And if things go bad, the way it seems like, I will organize. And so I hope the seniors support that.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Seeing none. Is there anyone else from the public who wishes to speak to us? Mr. Craig Dahl. You didn't sign up, sir.
I couldn't find the paper. How was that in the hallway?
All these many seniors found it.
Oh.
Welcome, Mr. Dahl.
I'm older than most of them. I'm Craig Dahl. I'm the executive director for the Juneau Chamber of Commerce. And I'll also say I've lived in Juneau for 52 years. I was a volunteer firefighter with the mayor for 6 of those years. I've been in Rotary for 36 years. And I've volunteered for many boards, nonprofit boards around the community. And I do want to say that on behalf of the chamber, though, that we do support the ordinance as it's presented. And I think one thing that somebody mentioned earlier, I hadn't heard from the chamber, but the chamber, even before I joined earlier this year, started meeting with the assembly and the tax exempt committee when it was first initiated. So we've been in countless meetings, both the committee of the whole, the borough assembly meetings, and the finance meetings. When the chamber started looking at this, it wasn't an issue of trying to pick on seniors. In fact, it was focused on the problems coming up with both the demographics as well as looking at the state budget. And I really encourage everybody to show up on September 30th and watch the presentation about the state's budget. The chamber did give the assembly a presentation and a recommendation, which wasn't, I won't say wasn't followed, but wasn't accepted. We tried to give a balanced option. It didn't just single out seniors. We were trying to include all the young people, make the tax exemption community-wide, and we did suggest a slight increase to sales tax. Well, we weren't looking at the seniors. We were looking at the budget problem that's facing this assembly, and I would just go and say that tonight is a tough one. I want to thank every one of you, all the staff, and I appreciate every one of the comments made this evening in the room, and I'll repeat, I am a senior. This is a tough job, and I respect all of you for sitting through a very emotional meeting. But the facts are we're facing a real challenge in the several next 18 months. I think this will be one of the easiest decisions you make to some that you're going to be faced with in the next 12 months. So thank you for listening. Personally, I didn't want to come up here, but the fact is we've got a lot of things to take care of. So. Those are my comments, and thank you very much.
Mr. Dahl, thank you. Any questions? One last chance. Anybody else from the public wish to speak? Okay, come on up. Two more.
I'll be the last one, hopefully.
No, I got two here. Oh, another one behind me. Okay. My name is Bob Horner. I live at 4999 Steelhead Street. And I came in here to say that I'm not in favor of this action. And I was thinking all the bad thoughts about what telling you what has been going wrong and what isn't, but I don't think I need to. And I'd like to say that I thought about it. Well, standing upstairs, there's a quick, easy solution to this. We add one penny to each tourist that comes into town. It'll take care of the deficit that we are causing. Very simple. We got a $50 million boat harbor out there now that's coming in, and we need, and that should be good for another 10 to 15 years. It'd be an easy solution to take care of it. One penny can do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Mayor, members of the Assembly, thank you. My name is Terry Elder, E-L-D-E-R. I live at 8168 Aaron Street in the Valley. So I've always been an elder, and now I'm an elder. So, but I want to say that I'm very much opposed to this proposal for all the reasons already stated. I think the comments that have been made have been very good, and I agree with them. I would just point out a couple of things. One is that I moved here in 81 with my wife. And at the time, everyone lamented the fact that the seniors didn't retire here. They came to work here, not only in Juneau, but all over the state. And then they, but as they got older, they tended to move out. And everyone agreed that something should be done about that. Well, Juneau did do something about that, and that's the sales tax exemption. If it's true, as some people have suggested, that we're in for a permanent change in the financial situation in the state and in CBJ, then I would suggest to you that the solution to that is not going to be taxes. Some things like the tax exemption at some point may in fact become quite vulnerable, and that'll be the time to do it. But the only solution to that is going to be in reduction of spending, and that's what I would suggest that you do. You prepare for, you work with the state officials as well, so that the state and the communities are moving together, but that you look at spending reductions. I know you have done some already. I'm not saying you haven't, but I'm suggesting that if we really have the difficulties that some have suggested here, that cuts that deep will only be done by cutting services, cutting spending, and then considering raising taxes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Thank you very much. I'm going to ask one more time, trying to get anybody who may wish to speak to us wrapped up here. Anybody else wish to speak to us on this issue? I will close public comment. Does the Assembly wish to take a 5-minute break and then
yes, please
move forward with this?
Yes.
Okay, let's stick to a 5-minute break, come back so that seniors can go home if they wish after we get through with this one topic.
You're listening to KTOO-FM in Juneau. This has been a live broadcast of the CBJ Assembly meeting. They're currently taking a 5-minute break. The weather for tonight is... Just a minute. Mostly cloudy, scattered rain showers, patchy fog late. Lows around 39. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, patchy fog in the morning, slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon, highs around 54. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy, isolated showers. And Thursday through Saturday, mostly cloudy, scattered rain showers. Highs around 50, lows 38 to 43.
Broadcast support for KTOO is provided in part by Greg Fisk, candidate for mayor of Juneau in the October 6th municipal election. Paid for by Greg Fisk for mayor.
Raven Correspondence School is a quality statewide K-12 homeschool program and is currently taking enrollment for the 2015-2016 school year. With Raven Correspondence, students will have a wide variety of curriculum choices with certified teacher support as well as easy access to local resources and activities. For enrollment information, visit ravenschool.com or call 888-99-RAVEN. This message is brought to you by Raven Correspondence School. There's no place like home.
The Alaska Folk Festival and KRNN proudly present Falltoberfest, October 2nd and 3rd at the Rockwell Ballroom. Six bands and two nights of music, dancing, food, and good cheer. Featuring the Anna Lynch Band, Todd Grevey and Cold Country, the Great Alaska Bluegrass Band, and other local favorites. Enjoy three bands each night at this all-ages event. All proceeds benefit the Folk Festival and KRNN. Tickets available at the Jack, Hearthside, and at akfolkfest.org.
Brewfest is coming. KXLL is proud to sponsor the Rotary Club of Juneau for the 4th annual Capital Brewfest, September 26th at the Jack from 1 to 5 p.m. This year there are even more participating brewers, and as always, there will be great local music and food. All proceeds benefit humanitarian works of Juneau Rotary and United Way of Southeast Alaska. Come enjoy craft brew for a cause. Tickets are limited and available now at capbrewfest.com.
I've left my footprints on a beach at Waikiki, by the coastline of Barbados, at the shore of Martinique. I've broken many hearts, so many lost affairs, but there's one that stole my soul. Between here and there, some call her a lady, some call her the sea, some call her the ocean, a place to be free. Atlantic, Pacific, or the Gulf Stream. She's wild and she's crazy, the ultimate dream. Don't try and change her, she's warm and she's cold. When stormy or tranquil, she's in control. She's deep and she's mighty, she gives her bounty. Oh, how I love her, the lady of the sea.
Please come back to order. Okay, we're at on the agenda assembly action on ordinance 2015-41B. Ms. Crane.
I move adoption of ordinance 2015-41B and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you.
Object.
Object. Anybody else object? One objection is enough. Okay, Ms. Crane, do you want to speak to your introduction?
I support the amendment. I think it, we've tried to be as fair as possible. It's not just about seniors, it's about young families in our community and others. And there still is a senior sales tax exemption offered. There have been many months of meetings and discussion on this, and so I support adoption of the ordinance.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Ms. Becker, to your objection.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I question how this is going to help young people with their budgets, but I certainly have appreciated the seniors coming out tonight, and I do agree with all the ones who are opposed to the ordinance. I think that you've made wonderful comments, and I think it's very unfair, and I think it is putting a tax on just one group of people. So I'm very much opposed to it. I could go on and on, but you've heard the testimony, so thank you.
No. No, thank you. No. They don't get credit yet. We haven't done anything yet. Ms. White, you had some questions.
Yes, I did have a few questions for staff. On the utilities that were exempted, one of the things that I guess I wanted to check into was seeing what it would take to add garbage service to that, because the last thing we need is for people to let waste accumulate in their homes or in their yards just to avoid the sales tax. I mean, and would it be hard to add that, or would we be putting this back to ground zero?
Through the chair, so Bob Bartholomew, finance director. Technically, it would not be difficult to add it. The ordinance would have to be amended to include that particular utility. I don't have an estimate for how much what that would mean. Currently, we're not collecting sales tax, so in our estimate of how much money would be raised, which was a little over $1 million from these changes, that number would be slightly lower based on how much sales tax would not be collected on the garbage, and I just don't have an estimate of that dollar amount.
Ms. Troll, do you have that question?
Kind of, I guess, for Laura, the clerk, if we were to make that modification, would we still have the opportunity to vote tonight, or would it have to go back out to public hearing?
No, you can amend it on the floor.
No, we could.
Okay. No, you could amend it on the floor and go move.
We could amend it on the floor. I guess I would like to make a motion that we amend the ordinance to include garbage service
as part of the essential services.
As part of the essential services.
Yes. Is there any objections to that amendment, Ms.
I don't object. I'm just so we would add it in on page 3 of 5, like another A, B, C, D, E. It'd be, is that what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Ms. Mead?
That's the appropriate place. And would you clarify if that includes the recycling? Is it the full service provided by waste management?
Arrow.
Or yeah. Whoever it is, whatever their name is, this I would like to see it include all waste disposal.
We need to pinpoint it just a little bit closer,
yep.
I think.
Okay.
So if you've got ideas.
Okay. Well, waste disposal, be it garbage pickup or dump runs or the recycling center, I would like to see that included in the essential services category. Is that what I needed?
Madam Clerk, do you have that amendment now?
I'm not sure about
By White, to amend the ordinance to include garbage service as part of the essential services. This would include waste pickups, dump runs.
And the recycling?
And the recycling.
Okay, we have before us amendment number one. Does anyone else wish to speak to it? Is there objection to it? I object.
Would you
anybody else? Madam Clerk, will you please read the roll?
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Amendment number one has passed. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to speak to the main motion. I don't know if anybody else has amendments. I will speak to the main motion. And this may seem a little counterintuitive, but I value the senior sales tax exemption. I want to see it stay in place. And the way to make sure it stays in place for now and in the future is to make these changes that we're talking about today. Because here's the reality that we face. We have a graph here that shows the increased population. When this sales tax exemption was put in place, the senior population was 5%. Today, it's 11.5%, and it's projected to go up to 19%. And right along with that is the chart here that shows our projected loss of revenue to the city. So it's only a matter of time before the question really comes, do we do away completely with the exemption? At all, because as many people here have said, we know the state's fiscal situation is not very rosy, and we need to make sure that we can keep the program and services around that the seniors depend upon. When we were trying to cut money, we looked at the swimming pool. Who came out and testified, please don't cut the swimming pool? It was the seniors, because they value that service. We have transit service. We have lots of services that the seniors need and want to keep in place. We need to find a way to make sure that we can keep this program sustainable. If we don't do these changes now, probably in 3 years from now, when the fiscal wall hits again, everybody's going to be back saying, well, we can't afford it. Let's eliminate the whole senior sales tax exemption. I think by making these modest changes, we actually keep the sales tax exemption around for seniors. So that's just, I know you, some of you may disagree, but that's where I'm coming from. And there's been a lot of talk about, well, we don't value our seniors, and I think the mayor said it well for all of us. We regardless of the action we take here, we do value our seniors. We're not touching the senior property tax exemption. Here's a list of over three... We can't, legally, and we have no intent.
All right.
Okay?
I'm going to call this to order here a little bit. Ms. Troll, you speak to us, the Assembly. I don't want any more talking from the crowd to us. That's over with. Public testimony is closed, and we need to get through this in a nice, smooth little manner here, if we could, please.
Okay, thank
Ms.
you,
Troll,
Ms. Troll,
speak to us.
I will.
Assembly.
So, you know, we have over three dozen senior citizens, special privileges that are needs-based and non-needs-based. We're not touching any of these programs at all. They're all staying in place. The things like the bus pass, reduced rates. So a lot of our actions that we've taken, in my mind, recognize that we value our seniors because we are keeping a lot of this whole. And when we sat on the Sales Tax Review Committee, we went through a whole list of different exemptions, and we've made changes to them, the outer property, the upper limits. So we're not singling out a special group. When it comes to looking at sales tax exemption, there happens to be only one group that gets these exemptions,
and it's seniors. So what we're trying to do is find a way to make this program sustainable. And it may seem like we're picking on seniors, but it's about making it sustainable for the future so we can continue to fund the programs that the seniors have come to enjoy. And I do think there's a fairness question. And I think we had lots of good testimony here today about, you know, the working families and those people that are struggling to make ends meet that don't get this benefit. So I'm looking at the long term. I think we were all elected here not to do the easy political thing, but to look at the big picture and make some tough decisions. And part of the big picture for me is how do we continue to fund education to the upper limit. I don't know how I can get there to continue to fund education if I don't take some prudent financial steps along the way when I have that opportunity. So that's sort of my collective thinking and why I will be supporting this ordinance. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Troll. Ms. Gladachevsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think this is a really important debate, and it goes to who we are as a community and what we want to be in the future as a community. And I want to speak to a couple of issues that were brought up again and again. One is the spending side of the equation and the suggestion that CBJ could do more to reduce spending. And I don't disagree. And this assembly and assemblies before it has spent many, many hours working on that side of the equation and will continue to work on that side of the equation. Certainly I will. We have finance meetings regularly. I hope people come out for those. We have a big schedule in the spring. I mean, there are 9 members on the assembly. Everybody has different expertise, and I can tell you that it's impressive the detail, the level to which your assembly, the people who work for you, look at those numbers. So if you know something that needs cutting, if you know something that is inefficient, we want to know about it. But it's a balancing act. Ms. Troll mentioned the pool. Whatever your favorite program is or your unfavorite program, there's somebody else who it's their favorite program. So, you know, we are charged with listening to everybody and trying to do the best for the most people in the community. So that side of the equation we'll continue to work on, and we'll continue to listen to the whole community. As far as to the suggestion that we're balancing the budget on the backs of the seniors, and that we should look at something that somehow spreads the impacts more fairly, I'd say that's in fact what this proposal does. What we're looking at are the demographics that the demographer tells us, and in 1980, a small segment of the community was seniors, and the rest of the community could pick up those costs more easily. And as the years have gone on, there's just more and more people not contributing sales tax. And obviously, we all know seniors contribute so many other things and so many volunteer hours and volunteer for every organization in this town. But as far as contribute financially to pay for those things that that as a community we've decided we want bus service and education, and not all of us use each of those things. I certainly don't use everything, but I'm willing to go with the collective and try to understand what we can do for the most people. I don't use the bus every day. Some people do. And on, you can pick your favorite or unfavorite thing. So, you know, that's all a balancing act. That's why there's 9 folks up here. So we're trying to
speak to us.
Right.
As the group.
Okay. Thank you,
problem.
Mr. Mayor. I appreciate that. Okay, so we're trying to balance or spread the cost out among more people. I support this proposal because I am concerned about young families, about people who are the firefighters and the nurses and the bus drivers who are also struggling. So, I think it's fair. It supports seniors because it still keeps the exemption on the food and the fuel and the utilities. So that's a significant portion of folks' spending. So I just think it's a fair proposal, and I'm supporting it.
Thank you. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had a couple of questions from staff, especially questions I'd gotten via email and I couldn't answer. So I wanted to get those cleared up tonight. And the first was actually a question somebody asked about what happens with the rebate if a senior passes away? Is that paid to their estate? Is that something that's, how's that handled?
Well, currently the sales tax office has been working on that, but I don't think we have guidance yet on exactly how would we handle that situation where for some portion of a year there is an eligible senior passes away, and is there a right to that rebate that needs to go into the estate? And I don't have that answer today.
Okay, so that's then something, I guess I might turn, if I may, Mr. Mayor, to the attorney and just ask if that's something where the manager would do regulations or whether that would come back to the assembly for decision. How do we fix that once we get a sense?
I don't think it wouldn't be in the ordinance, so I don't think that would come back to you. I don't think it would be a manager policy. I think that would be, and correct me if I'm wrong, finance director, is that something that you're checking with the IRS and how that works?
It's IRS and just the laws around probate and estates, so we didn't have the sophistication to know, you know, because you're going from the individual who qualified, which was a senior, and how does that right transfer at a time of death? And so I think it's just us learning about what are the rules and regulations around it, and is it the IRS or is it, you know, law itself, you know, the law structure around estates that drives it. So we just have to research it.
So that would be a financial director policy. Similar to, we have other policies that fall under finance.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bartholomew, to get clear, and we heard a couple people mention it in public testimony, cost of implementation. What is your estimate of your staff needs and for this revised program to pass us tonight?
So our estimates are based on looking at the income structure that 40% of seniors could possibly qualify for the rebate at the income levels that have been set, would be set in this ordinance. At 40% of the seniors, we're talking around 1,600 seniors would qualify. We would allow married couples to qualify, to apply on one application. So when you say, okay, how many applications for the rebate would be processed, we're estimating between 600 and 1,000 applications would be needed to be processed. The time to do that, the ordinance establishes a 90-day window. Applications by June 30, rebate by September 30. We think from a manpower standpoint, that the time it would take to process them, and it was mentioned earlier tonight that somebody looked at the math and said it would be about 10 minutes. And we think that's at the low end, but that some will be processed in 10 minutes and some will take 15 minutes, some might take a half hour. But that we won't, that can definitely be handled with the existing staff given a 90-day window. And then the offset of that is the number of businesses claiming the senior sales tax exemption is going to drop from thousands to under 40. So the compliance and administrative work of getting that information into the system, going out into the field and doing the reviews of did we get the signatures and all that, for 95 to 98% of the businesses, they will no longer be processing the senior sales tax exemption. And that these are the ones that sell the non-essentials, so that the rebate will be received. That, and that was part of the reason for the rebate recommendation. But so from a manpower standpoint, we believe that the city's existing sales tax office can process it and meet the timelines in the ordinance and not add to existing resources.
Thank you. And then my last question I had, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Securing personal data. I don't have a solid sense of how you do that now. I know that we have one, at least one income limited program, which is the hardship property tax exemption over and above the mandated one. How do we secure that personal information?
So currently, and we'll do it slightly differently right now when for sales tax, but currently when an applicant comes in for the property tax hardship exemption, they bring in the tax return as required or an affidavit stating that they're not required to file. And when they receive it, the first thing they do is black out the Social Security number. So we do have the tax return, and so we have the income information, and that information is filed. Currently, that is being done in paper files. I've talked with sales tax, the MIS department, and on the property tax side, we had 100 applications last year. So the volume's quite a bit smaller than what we're estimating here, 600 to 1,000. We will just scan them. It will be saved electronically. We will black out the Social Security number. So what information we will have available as a result of the rebate program would be the name and the electronic version of the tax return with the income information, and work with our security system for the computer systems is how our plan is to secure the data.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Keel?
No other questions, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. White.
Yes, Mr. Bartholomew, you and I talked about this briefly on some of the seniors who are definitely in this bracket for the rebate, about ways to make it more simple. And I know at a certain level they don't even have to do a tax return. So is there a way that they could show like another form of assistance that they have applied for? I'm trying to address some concerns that were brought up about the complicated process of applying for the rebate for maybe for some of the lower income seniors. Would there be a way to simplify that for the ones that we're talking about?
Well, our current plan would be if they're can basically sign an affidavit that they are not required under the IRS rules to file a tax return, and that's because of income levels. There are certain income levels which below you do not aren't required to file a tax return, then we are going to use that affidavit as our backup. I have not checked with the state of Alaska on how they handle the qualifications for assistance, but that was something that we plan to do. Is your question about can we do it more efficiently? At this point, we would go to the people that are currently administering these programs to see where we're at. Mm-hmm. We've got time this year to try to research that, and that may change our administrative process once we know that a rebate program is going in place.
Anything else?
No, I have some ideas that may make that more simple, but if we get to that, I'll share those with him in an email.
Mr. Nankervis and Mr. Jones, you are the only ones of us that haven't spoken. Do you wish to speak before I go around another time? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move an amendment.
Go ahead.
Page 5 of the ordinance, line 1, effective date change to July 1st, 2016. I make that amendment motion because I had discussions with Mr. Bartholomew, and we've had discussions as a group. We didn't really set any reason why it was January 1st, and we haven't budgeted any money to be spent from this. We've already balanced the budget prior to this, and it seems to me it would make more sense to make that coincide, make this adjustment coincide with our fiscal year, which is July 1st.
Thank you. Is there any objections to that amendment?
I object.
Ms. Frank? Do you want to speak to your objection, Ms. Frank?
No.
Okay. We have before us a new date, a date of July 1, 2016.
Yes, sir.
On page 5. Ms. Madam Clerk, read the roll.
Mr. Mayor, question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I guess if I may, I'm not clear on how the application periods would work with the new effective date. Would the first rebate be 18 months worth, or would we need to shift the application and payment dates so it coincides with the fiscal year? What?
Mr. Bob.
Mr. Mayor, to Mr. Keel's question, I have to double check. My approach would be to recommend that we keep, even though the program's not effective till July 1st, we would keep the application period the same, being ending by June 30, based on the income for next year's tax return, 2016. And the issue, the question that would be before the assembly if we did that would be, if we kept a calendar year rebate, the rebate's only going to be from July 1st to December 31st. So you either could switch the first year to being just a half of a rebate for 6 months, or we could switch from a calendar year rebate to a fiscal year rebate, and then some of the dates would need to change. But if we were able to basically have a half calendar year, we could stay with the existing dates and have the application be done by June 30th. We'd process it by September 30th. There'd be a rebate for just July 1st to December 31st. They'd be getting the rebate in the middle of the period. And I don't know if there would be other legal issues around whether, how do we get from a rebate that's stated as a dollar amount here to half a calendar year? This is a calendar year rebate currently proposed.
Ms. Kwiatkowski.
I would just say, given all those complicated things, I think people are already saying it's too complicated. I would oppose this right now.
Thank you. Anybody else? Ms. Troy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just would like to hear a little further from Mr. Bartholomew in terms of ease of implementation. Is there a preference for the date? And if we do delay it, does that give you a little bit more time to try and address some of the concerns Ms. White was bringing up about simplifying the rebate process? I mean,
I don't think there's a preference from the finance department whether it's a January 1st effective date or a July 1st effective date. I think from a rebate standpoint, the calendar year worked well because we were allowed to use the most recent tax return to meet an application period. So that's one thing that is beneficial, is keeping it on a calendar year period. Whether we can do half a calendar year for the first one with a different effective date, or whether we really need to change other things, I'd have to look at that.
And if I may, Mr. just a follow-up, but in any scenario, we're not looking at having the applicants provide documentation. They don't have to keep their receipts or do any of that type of thing, right?
No, the approach is basically based on averages and estimates, based on data that is tracked spending.
All right, anything else on this amendment? The date change? So the only thing we've changed is the date change? Madam Clerk, could you read the amendment one more time to make sure we all have it right?
To change the effective date of this ordinance to July 31st.
July 1, 2016,
sorry.
Okay. Okay, everybody got that? So we have before us amendment number 2, date change. Madam Clerk, please read the roll.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Motion failed.
Okay, so amendment number two fails. We're back to the original call. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to...
Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment about the what you said, Mr. Hall. When we went through the whole thing at the tax exemption committee meeting, we did look at many, many exemptions, and we did make some changes. But a major one we did not change is the out-of-borough tax exemption, and that is major. That is benefiting those people who do not live in our town but who order something from our town, and they still get to have the exemption where our people don't. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. It's right or wrong. We felt it was going to hurt our merchants, and we didn't want to hurt our merchants, so we made that decision. And that's one thing. So we have helped our merchants on that deal. The second way that we've helped our merchants and that we are going to change this help, I think, is that in order to get a tax loss from the seniors, you know, when you lose your money, you've got a $2 million loss. The only way you get that $2 million loss is because you've spent, I believe it was $57 million in town. And that's senior expenditures that they're putting into the merchants into whatever they're paying. They're buying, and they're not paying the tax on it, but they're still buying the item. So basically what the city is doing there is they are helping the merchant by basically taking that loss, but the merchant's getting the money. So I think that the seniors have done, we have done a good thing for the merchants in two ways, basically, by the out-of-borough exemption being kept and by the fact that our seniors who have established retirements, granted they don't grow, they're on a fixed income, but if they have a retirement, like a state retirement or something, it's an amount of money that basically they're putting in our society. And in the case of the 1 year we talked about, it was $57 million to get us that loss of $2 million, whatever it was, 2.8, I think. So we are looking at a potential loss of money coming into our community from seniors' expendable retirement money that they have that they put into our community right now. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Jones. Anything?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Just to say that I have listened to the committee, the tax exempt committee, for almost a year now. I've sat through almost all of those meetings, although I wasn't on the committee. And I have read all of the emails that I have received over the last 2 or 3 weeks. In fact, they're all sitting right here, you know, printed off in a pile. And I've listened to the testimony tonight, all of which is very persuasive. I think it says a lot about how the persons in this community that might be affected by this change feel. I hope that they realize that at age 69, and my wife's 69, that we're part of that. We're retired state employees. And we're going to be in this community for a long time. We're going to continue to volunteer. We're going to continue to donate. We have changed our donations up and down based on both income. We're going to increase it this year because our PFD just went up. So we're going to spend more of our income on donations just simply because we're going to get more from the state. One of the things that I have used internally as I've looked at my budget and as I've looked at my personal experience is between my wife's and my PFD, even if I pay 5% sales tax on what I spend in this town, other than food, utilities, now trash collection, and fuel, I get a net income from my government, whether it be local or not. If I'm going to spend at the local and I get my PFD, and with my reduced property tax, I actually collect more from my government than I pay to my government. Now, the federal level, that's a little different story, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about local. None of that is going to get me to leave Alaska. I wish my children would return, but their income and their careers are going to take them elsewhere. But it has nothing to do with taxes. It has to do with their choices and their careers. And my choice is to stay here. My choice is to pay the government that supports the infrastructure that I've come to enjoy. I don't swim. I don't ice skate. I don't ski. But I'm going to pay for all those services. I voted for them. Unlike Mr. Harris, I think I have voted for every sales tax that's come before the voters. So he and I have offset each other. So the rest of you have approved that. Dennis and I have offset each other. I honestly believe that, as was stated in some of the testimony, some of the decisions we're going to make in the next 3 or 4 years are going to be much harder than this one. We tried to look at some of the issues, as all of you know, about whether we should go along with the issue that the Chamber of Commerce raised in terms of should we exempt food for everybody and raise our sales tax. This assembly didn't put that on the ballot for this election. Maybe we can get it in another couple of years before we're forced to. As you are concerned, if the state puts in a sales tax, where do we end up? If the state puts in an income tax, where do we end up? Right now, I can't control either of those, but I can control my vote. And my vote tonight is going to be to support the ordinance that we worked on for almost a year now. We've had a lot of discussion back and forth, we have argued in committees. We have worked through that. I've had my no votes in the committee. But we have worked through that, and my vote's going to be to say yes to this ordinance tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Anybody else? One last time. Mr. Keel.
Nope. I'm sorry, the city attorney's got her hand in the air.
Madam Attorney.
Listening to Mr. Bartholomew, he mentioned that there are instances where finance will allow someone to submit an affidavit in lieu of a federal tax return when they are exempt from filing. That is going to the ordinance is going to be need to be amended to allow for that. Right now, it requires the submittal of a federal tax return. So I propose the following on page 4, section C1. The last line of C reads, the following documentation must be submitted, and subsection 1 would be amended to read, a federal income tax return filed in the same year in which the rebate is sought, or an affidavit signed by the applicant verifying that the applicant is exempt under federal law from filing a federal income tax return.
Okay. Let's take a 5-minute break, get it written down. It's a little bit too much for all of us, I think. And then we'll pass it out to all of us. So 5-minute break.
And you've been listening to KTOO FM in Juneau, the live broadcast of the CBJ Assembly meeting. Taking another 5-minute break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Mr. Keel, if you want to introduce this amendment, and then we'll have Ms. Mead speak to it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the amendment distributed by the city attorney.
Has everybody seen that amendment, and does anybody have any questions about that amendment?
Just reading it.
Ms. Mead, can you explain your amendment and why we think we need to do this?
The ordinance specifies what you must submit in order to be eligible for the rebate. And as I was listening to Mr. Bartholomew, he mentioned that they will, in lieu of federal tax returns, for those who are not required under federal law to submit a federal tax return, they will accept an affidavit. If we're going to allow someone to submit something other than the two things specified in the ordinance, we just needed to amend the ordinance to allow for that.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Keel, if you would just read the amendment as written by Ms. Mead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On page 4, at line, looks like between 15 and 16, after the word sought, it would read, or an affidavit signed by the applicant verifying that the applicant is exempt under federal law from filing a federal income tax return. Then you'd continue with the
semicolon. Thank you. And that's amendment number 3 for everybody. Is there any objection to amendment number 3? Seeing none, amendment 3 has passed. Okay, we have before us, is there any other amendments? Any other changes? Any other discussion? Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've really appreciated the dialogue and the discussion tonight and all the public testimony, both before the meeting and tonight at the meeting. It has been really important and enlightening. And I want to join some of my colleagues who've said that the growth in the senior citizen population in Juneau over the last decade or two has been a fabulous thing for our community. It is, as Ms. Becker said, great for our business community. It is, as many testifiers have pointed out, great for our nonprofits that do so much. And that growth in the number of seniors, I will also add, I think someone alluded to it, is phenomenal for families. My wife and I set up equidistant between sets of parents, now grandparents, and it seemed like a good idea at the time. We'd have been better off if we had our grandparents in the same town, or rather our kids' grandparents in the same town we're raising our kids. So I will echo what everyone else has said, that the growth in our senior population is great for Juneau. And that, I think, speaks to a lot of what we've been working on tonight. I'm not anywhere near as witty as Mr. Kelsch is. I haven't had the benefit of a couple decades of dueling with teenagers in the schoolroom to sharpen the wit. But I will point out that in 99 and again in 2000, the city had various fiscal policy groups look at the demographics and look at this program in particular and warn that it was going to start growing tremendously. And I think there were proposals for changes, either elimination or raising the age tremendously in both of those years, neither of which passed. And so now it's here. Depending on which numbers have gotten thrown around, it's about a $2.8 million cost for this program. And it's grown at 10% a year, and it's going to grow at 10% a year, maybe nine some years, for some time. Unfortunately, for the city budget, although very fortunately for our community, the demographers have been right on the money on this one. And so we have this issue that we don't let any part of our city budget grow at 10% a year compounded for multiple years. And we have, I think Mr. Nankervis was very right to point out, we balance the budget for the current fiscal year. It's not any one year the cost of this program that's going to be a problem for the city and borough of Juneau and the people who live here. It's the fact that it's growing 10% a year compounding. In the last couple of years, we have reduced what we put into the pools in Eagle Crest by about $300,000. Took us about 2 years to do that. That's 1 year's growth in this program without changes. And so, yeah, and that's, I mean, just one of many budget cuts we've made. Since FY14, we've cut 21 city jobs. And I know people who've lost those jobs. And that's, I don't have to tell anybody who's sitting up here, that's really hard to do. And you vote the principal, even if it means that people you know lose their jobs, and some of them have left town. So this tonight is not the first hard vote, and sadly I think it won't be the last. We need to continue to keep the lid on the budget to the extent we can. I know that there are all the assembly members up here are committed to that. We're simultaneously committed to making as much room for growth in the population of young people as we can with all the work we've been doing on housing. And we as a group, no one of us, despite my natural political desire to take credit for everything good, no one of us, we've seen as a community some success in housing growth and housing starts. And I hope we continue that. I know we will. So ultimately, I think what Ms. Troll said is convincing to me. With 10% a year compound growth in the cost of this program, we are looking at such an unsustainable cost before too long that it's going to end up going away entirely. And that really will hurt the poorest among us and the neediest among us. And so instead what we have is this proposal to reform the senior sales tax exemption. And to reform it in a way that, you know, once the cost of the program drops, it's going to grow as the senior population grows. But it's going to grow at a much more sustainable rate, a manageable rate, a rate that is entirely commensurate with all the things seniors add to our community and our economy and our families, and that we can all of us sustain. And I guess the last thing I'll say is that like everyone else here tonight has mentioned, I really do support and appreciate our senior citizens. This reformed senior sales tax exemption will be more than we do for anyone else in our community. We don't do this for active duty military. We don't do this for disabled veterans. We don't do this for anyone but seniors. And I think it's right that we recognize our seniors and that we help especially the neediest seniors so that they can stay here and contribute so much. So with my apologies for going on so long, I will be a yes vote. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Anybody else? Mr. Nan Kervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Short and sweet, please.
Short and sweet. The only one with the time limit here. 2 minutes, hit the light on me. You folks know me, and you know what I sit here and talk about all the time, and you know how much I dislike taxes, how much I dislike increasing them, and how I rail about spending. And this is one issue that I've spent hours speaking with people. Several of them are in the room right now. Hours. And this goes against my normal position, and I'm going to support the position. And I guess what it comes down to, trying to keep it short and sweet here, is that I feel like my charge when I took office was to do what I thought was best for the entire community. Whether I personally felt like that or not, is to step outside of my personal feelings and say, what do I think, when possible, what do I think is the best for the entire community? And to me, the proposal we have before us right now is better than what we're currently doing for the entire community. So I'm going to support that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Anybody else? Okay. Madam Clerk, the objection stands. Thank you. Please read the roll.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Gładyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nan Kervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay. We will take a 3-minute break here as people move out.
I don't have any time.
Assembly action. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance 2014-24AW and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, ordinance 2014-24AX.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $13,974,804 to fund Bartlett Regional Hospital's fiscal year 2015 public employee retirement system contribution, funding provided by the Alaska Department of Administration.
Madam Manager.
As noted with the one before, this is the payment based on the passage of SB 119 during the 2015 legislative session. This is a housekeeping ordinance to properly account for this on-behalf payment, and it has no impact on BHR's finances. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on ordinance 2014-24AX? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance 2014-24AX and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, ordinance 2015-20L.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $543,671 as funding for the Juneau International Airport Terminal Rehabilitation Capital Improvement Project. Funding provided by the Federal Aviation Administration and the State of Alaska Department of Transportation.
Madam Manager.
Funding is provided by FAA for a total of $526,133 and the State of Alaska Department of Transportation for $17,538,000. The grant funding will reimburse the CIP for the acquisition of the passenger boarding bridge, jet bridge, and an ADA passenger loading ramp. The CIP project forward funded these items in order to meet the short time frame before the start of Delta Airlines' new service in 2014. The jet bridge replaced a 40-year-old unit which did not have the range of movement, to accommodate the Boeing 757 aircraft that Delta Airlines was bringing in, as well as a range of smaller narrow-body jets. Associated work included removal and disposal of the old boarding bridge, new foundation footings for support, and electrical work. The passenger ramp was acquired to comply with FAA grant assurances related to the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act. Prior to this acquisition, the airport had no equipment to help boarding passengers with disabilities at the two gates where passenger loadings were via stairs. The FAA funds 93.75% of the project, with the remainder being split between the Alaska Department of Transportation and the Juneau International Airport. The airport local match was previously appropriated through Resolution 2713D as part of the area-wide sales tax. The airport board approved this action on April 9th, May 14th, and August 13th of 2014. I recommend that this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you. Public comment? Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move ordinance 2015-20L and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, ordinance 2015-20M.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $500,000 as funding for the Juneau School District Deferred Maintenance and Minor Improvements Capital Improvement Project and $300,000 for the Juneau School District Comprehensive Facility Plan, funding provided by the 2009 Special Capital Projects 1% Sales Tax Funds Fund Balance.
Thank you. Madam Manager.
The Juneau Board of Education requested that the Assembly provide $1.3 million for district-wide deferred maintenance and minor capital improvement projects at its June 9, 2015 meeting. Ordinance 2015-37 authorized the issuance of general obligation bonds in the not to exceed the amount of $1.3 million to finance the cost of educational capital improvements and district-wide major maintenance projects, and that was introduced on July 20, 2015. The Finance Committee recommended that the Assembly use 1% sales tax proceeds from the five-year period ending in June 30, 2013, in the amount not to exceed $800,000 to fund both the school district's deferred maintenance and a comprehensive facility plan at its July 30, 2015 meeting. The Juneau School Board Facilities Committee recommended approval of the current ordinance at its September 14, 2015 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on Ordinance 2015-20M? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2015-20M and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so ordered. We'll move on to, Madam Clerk, Ordinance 2015-20N, November.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $160,000 as funding for the Emergency Management Performance Grant, funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Thank you, Madam Manager.
These funds are provided to reimburse the City and Borough of Juneau for payroll and benefit costs incurred in direct support of the goals and activities of the Emergency Management Performance Grant for CBJ emergency programs, police and fire staff, and the performance of emergency management functions in planning, training, exercise, and equipment procurement within the grant performance period. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2015-20N? Almost lost my place there, everybody. Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2015-20N, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you. Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Move on to H, Ordinance 2015-20.
Oh. An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $19,018 as funding for the Local Planning Committee, grant funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Madam Manager?
These funds are provided to reimburse the CBJ for payroll benefits and the LEPC program implementation costs incurred in direct support of the goals and activities of the 2016 Local Emergency Planning Committee grant for the Juneau LEPC. There's no match requirement for this grant. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I'll open this up for public comment. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on Ordinance 2015-20? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Move to Assembly action. Ms. Kletachevsky.
I would move Ordinance 2015-20 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so ordered. Unfinished business, is this where we move Gasnaw?
No, that's under staff report.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there any unfinished business?
No, there isn't.
Thank you, Madam Manager. New business. Item A. Do you want the clerk to read it? Or?
No, that's okay. We have a senior citizen exemption late file for Isaac. My recommendation is to approve that based on the reasoning outlined in their application that there was medical issues that impacted the time when the application was due.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Ms. Crane.
I would move approval of the senior citizen exemption for Robert Isaac as filed timely.
Thank you. Is there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Madam Manager B.
Yes, and this is a senior citizen exemption late file for Sumdum. The hardship occurred after the filing date. They had all intention of filing it, And then there were financial hardships that occurred right after it, and so they lost the resources to be able to file it. And so I'm recommending that we approve this, accept it as filed on time.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Ms. Craig.
I would move that we approve the senior citizen exemption for Paula Sundum as filed timely.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And Madam Manager, item C.
Yes, the Department of Engineering and Public Works has offered space, has office space available in the Lemon Creek facility that it wishes to rent to the Alaska Brewing Company. There is no mechanism in the code that specifies how such a rental could proceed. It's my intent to utilize a process similar to the process used for use permits, given the similarities between the two, non-consumptive and short-term use. A use permit for non-exclusive, non-consumptive use of CBJ property may be granted for a term not to exceed 1 year. I am proceeding with a rental agreement for the use of the office space in the already existing Lemon Creek facility to the Alaska Brewery Company. The rental amount will be fair market value, and the rental term shall not exceed 1 year. As there are no other CBJ departments that have a property interest in the space being rented, I don't intend to circulate the rental agreement for review to other CBJ departments or the Planning Commission, as this is the process provided for CBJ 5309310 for use permits. This is just an informational to let you know how we're moving forward with that building.
Go forward, Madam Manager.
Thank you.
Now, we are at staff reports. And we have a Gastineau update.
We do have a Gastineau apartments update, and I would ask Mr. Watt to please come forward and provide you with a update.
Mr. Watt, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. As you're aware, we're out to bid for the demolition of the apartments, and at the Assembly's request, we're pushing that process as fast as we can. However, what we are hearing from contractors is that we are giving an inadequate amount of time for the completion of the project. We've seen major commercial contractors who would be suited for this kind of work pick up the bid documents, steer away, call us up and say, too much risk, not enough time, not interested. We're very concerned about the level of interest in the bid package that we have. And we've had a few comments from downtown business owners who've been tracking the process closely. And I think the consensus among my staff, the few owners we've talked to, and the contractors is that if we extend the bid period, we will get more bidders, we will get better pricing, more time will reduce the risk and the perception of the risk. It will take the stress off coordination around holiday shopping. There's a concern if we push too hard that we're going to set up a conflict. And the consensus is that if we back off a little bit, we all know this has been a problem and something that we wanted to address. But realistically, it appears that extending the bid completion period until just before the cruise ship season is probably the best course forward.
So a recommended date, Mr. Watt?
I would say the end of April is probably the best thing to do.
It will be down by the end of April?
It will be complete. Completion.
Complete.
Completion. So we still believe that the actual demolition of the building is a fairly short process, but the mobilization, the submitting of an engineered plan, the finding of a demolitions engineer, the staging of the equipment, caring for all the details. We got a very clear message from contractors that specialize in demolition and contractors with significant resources that could take this on that we weren't offering enough time. And I think their message on inspection we have to take to heart, I think, is a good one.
Question, Mr. Jones.
So last time here and at the dig, you were talking the end of December, then the end of January. now you're talking end of April for completion. Does that change the date that they have to submit response to the actual proposal? Are you extending that time frame?
We are going to extend that to give contractors who looked at it early on enough time to submit bids. Right now, we're here about the 20th, wherever we are, and we anticipate opening bids about, October 10th to be ready at the assembly meeting on October 20th for award.
So you still think that's possible, even though the actual completion date is going out another 3 to 4 months?
I do, yes. So extending the bid period just a little bit longer, I think, gives contractors enough time to look at the package and consider the amount of time available for the project.
Ms. Crane, I saw your hand up.
Not good news. It's one thing after another. However, if this has the potential to save us money, then I think, and I think it does, then I could go for this. But it must be down by the 30th of April. There can't be any more slop over from that date, because then we're running, we're running into tourist season, and then there's a big problem. So the contract really needs to be, when we get there, written pretty tightly that it's down by the 30th of April or else something drastic.
We're going to paint it bright red or something. I'm sorry. Mr. Keith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, Mr. Watt, you think the loud part will take how long?
The loud part?
The loud, dusty, smashing things, hauling stuff part.
Loud is subjective.
And thus my concern.
It's going to be loud for several months. No question about that. I do think that the bulk demolition of the structures is a 3 to 4 week period. But I think just kind of working through in stages, there will be a demolition of the park and preparing of the site for the demolition of the buildings. There will be a lot of manpower spent cleaning out the buildings. There's a lot of stuff that's got to come out and get hauled away to the landfill, and that may take as much as a month. And while that's happening, there's going to be pumping out of the basement and all the fuel that's been spilled in there. And so that month is not going to be too bad. But then the cutting apart of the buildings and the backfilling, it's going to be loud. It's going to be a several-month period, and it's going to be really hard to mitigate against that, and we're just going to have to do the best we can.
And that'll be in between the banging of 16B stuff, Mr. Keel.
But isn't most of the 16B banging going to be done before the legislative session's in full swing?
Hopefully.
So my concern about, in our previous discussions about this, we had talked about the window for demolition of the Gastineau being after the cruise ship season and before the legislative session. So now, if we're talking about doing it during the legislative session in the heart of downtown, it raises some concerns for me. Are we talking about additional, what kind of curbs on work hours? Help me.
I think we're open to suggestion. If we expand the term of the contract, it gives us more flexibility. So if there are particular work windows that we want to miss, it becomes easier. So for instance, first shopping day in December, I think is an easy one. If there are important days around the legislature, perhaps we can work around that. But those are going to be hard to predict.
Maybe not going.
Saturdays and Sundays.
Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think we're back in the I want it all category, like we were the other week. Want it down now. I want it down silently.
I want it down cheaply.
And I want it down for free. no time is ever a good time to do this project. There are times that are worse than others, but get it done. Thanks.
Mr. Jones.
I guess my only other concern, other than noise, if this is all being done in, you know, February, March, the darkest part of the year, there's enough issues with safety and security now, with all the equipment there, with the building partially down or partially up. You know, are they going to keep it lit all night long to provide security? Are they going to, so the police can drive by and see if somebody's, you know, trying to use the equipment or walk away with it? I mean, I'm really concerned as much about the noise as, you know, it is a residential area. It is near Gastineau, the hotels. You know, if that's going to be brightly lit at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning for safety issues, I think that's some concerns that I would have that I think you need to somehow address in a contract as well.
I think we can navigate that.
Anything else? We give you enough lead-in time here, Mr. Watt, Madam Manager.
Get it down
by April 30th or whatever the date is.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'll buy you a chisel.
Yeah. I think we all need a brand new chisel and hammer, and we all come up and help. Okay. Anything else on Gastineau then?
No, thank you.
And we are supposed to have an update on Gastineau from one of those proposers?
At the COW meeting next Monday night.
Okay. So next Monday night, whoever has a proposal for there will be before us to show us at your COW, Ms. Becker. Okay, that's it?
Yes.
Okay, assembly report, mayor's report. I just want to say that Southeast Conference and Prince Rupert was well worth it. It was a good show, and we learned a lot about transboundary stuff. We learned a lot about the state budget coming up, and hopefully in October we get all that information from the governor's office that will be going through the legislature to show them what things they recommend for us to put into effect for revenue generators as well as cuts. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think there was anything new from AML, so all of you who went to AML probably got real basically the same format that we did at Southeast Conference. So anyway, it was a really, really good meeting. Committee reports, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole, you remember, we met at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we heard from Mr. Watt concerning the placement of the whale and the housing, the two issues that we're concerned about in the Bridge Park area. And we agreed to proceed with the bid for the land that's needed for the whale and to begin the process for looking at the rest of the land to see if there's something that can be done for housing. The City Manager Search Committee will meet this Friday at 10:30. We'll continue discussing the interview questions and probably get around to discussing the final selection process. I gave each of you the schedule that we're using. It's not in stone, of course, but it's it was at your desk. And so, yeah, I personally put it at everybody's desk, so
okay.
I don't know what happened to it, but it looks like this.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, that's my report. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Let's see. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Lands Committee has its next regularly scheduled meeting on the 28th. And unfortunately, we had to cancel the last Marijuana Policy Committee for lack of a quorum, including myself, guilty. We next meet Thursday.
Thank you, Ms. Crane.
Our next Finance Committee meeting will be October the 21st. We're not having one this month because of conflicting meetings. I'm working hard to keep the agenda from being terribly long, but it's looking like it will be a slightly longer meeting than usual. October 21st.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The next Public Works and Facilities Committee meeting will be noon Monday, September 28th, here in the chambers. Thank you.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you. The HRC met prior to this. We got the annual report from the Douglas Advisory Board. There are two vacancies on the Douglas Advisory Board. There were no applicants this time around. So if anybody on the radio audience is still out there and hasn't completely turned us off, Douglas Advisory Board's looking for volunteers, especially from North Douglas. Please submit your applications. In addition, we had a verbal update on the process of looking at the social services grants going to the Juneau Community Foundation. The city manager and the president of the Juneau Community Foundation both presented the discussions that they've been having. We talked about the administrative charge, the two-year cycle, and the city manager and the Juneau Community Foundation will continue that discussion, they will be concluding as much as they can on the potential administrative costs of this to bring forward to the Finance Committee meeting on October 21st so they get a sense of the full assembly before we continue forward. And then the agreement will be brought back to the next HRC meeting, which has not been scheduled yet. We're waiting to see what the election and the mayor's decision on who's on what committee and when. So that was the two items that we discussed. We also looked at the CBJ board application, which is being changed. There were several suggestions that the clerks are going to incorporate in, and hopefully that will be a final draft in changing how we look at the application. And that's my committee report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Liaison reports, Mr. Jones.
Thank you. Briefly, the Downtown Business Association has not met since the last report. Their next regular meeting is October 24th. They're having an annual meeting and a candidate forum on October 1st. I think that starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, so that'll be good for the candidates. The Planning Commission met 2 weeks ago. They looked at the zoning issues that had been sent to them from the Marijuana Committee and through their Title 49 Committee. There were two members absent. They could not get 5 votes to pass any motion. Most of them failed because either 4 were for or 4 were against. So they tabled that, and that discussion will continue tomorrow night. I will be on a plane going north to the Marijuana Control Board regulation hearing, so hopefully other assembly members that are interested will be at the Planning Commission tomorrow night. Then also the Planning Commission had scheduled a committee of the whole meeting to talk about some of the issues that we talked about when we passed the subdivision ordinance, the access and easements. That meeting has been canceled, and I haven't had the time to look into why, whether it was a quorum issue or they weren't ready. But my only concern is they felt they could move that along pretty quickly, and if their committee of the whole gets canceled because they can't come up with a quorum, then that's going to delay the amendments coming back to us that we were interested in.
Mr. Jones, if I can interrupt right here so I don't forget.
Sure.
Does anybody know where we're at there? They didn't have a quorum.
Right, so they're going to bring it up at the next meeting.
Okay.
Which will be another.
And again, this is a priority, so we have to make sure we figure out how to get them all there, keep it going. Mr. Jones.
The Aquatics Facility Board meets tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Again, I won't be there if anybody else wants to attend. I think that's a group that's working hard and should get some recognition for that. Juneau Economic Development Council has not met since the last meeting, although there was a committee that met to talk about the Juneau Economic Plan and to come up with some objectives that they felt they could accomplish in a year, have some measurable outcomes, and they'll be presenting them back to us through the city at the next meeting. In addition, I don't know if you saw the paper today, but the electric cars that were photographed in the paper, the JEDC and one of their electronic vehicle groups helped put that on. There will be an electric bus brought up here by Alaska Coach Tours and BYD. Should arrive on October 5th, and there's a Tourism Industry Association meeting, and they're going to be touting using electric buses. So I think that's will be important. And in addition, I think the JADC got a Community of Excellence in Research Award from the Alaska State Committee on Research for their work in trying to build a research center here and trying to incorporate all of the various researchers from the university and the state, federal government, and Forest Service. And I think that's a very important thing to make mention. So I think that's my liaison report.
And Mr. Jones, could you answer, does that meet the requirements in the economic development plan of making us a research center? Or not? Did you?
I don't think it does, but it what it points out is that we are farther along as a community than any place else in looking at some kind of a center of excellence to have researchers that are talking to each other, that are working with each other. I think it comes a long way toward recognition from the state. It may help get a few more grants in here. It may help get some of our researchers a leg up in terms of competition at a national level to bring research dollars in, but it doesn't quite fulfill that, and that's part of the discussion JADC had about the objectives, sort of what they were already working on versus, you know, the extra money that they will be putting forward that we gave them to come forward. And so you know, I think they'll be working on that continually, but I don't know that you'll necessarily see that as part of the objectives that come from them, because they're already currently working on that.
Yeah, that's good. I just thought, you know, if we've accomplished it, that's another little piece of the pie.
Well, I think we have accomplished a little piece of the pie.
Okay.
But it's because of all of their work that they've been doing and that they will continue to do, but it won't be part of the additional money we gave them.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. Okay, anything else, Mr. Jones?
No, I think that's enough.
Mr. Nankervis, liaison reports.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Docks and Harbors, 16B, the contract award was given to Cliff Garden Studio, and it was signed on September 14th. The CBJ Law is coordinating legal briefs and a response to the new president of the Alaska Commercial Fishermen's Memorial. Does that sound accurate? Okay, maybe not then. But the rest of this is. Manson Construction mobilized on 916 because I saw him coming up the channel. And we'll be using a portion of the Douglas Harbor parking lot for laydown, but if you haven't seen them, they're tied up out here, and they will be getting to work. The Army Corps of Engineers issued a navigational servitude decision, which allows the federal agency to place dredge material on state tidelands. What that means is Douglas Harbor is going to get dredge soon. Beginning mid-October, Turcano Construction is the on-site demolisher, and Docks and Harbors is reviewing the Douglas Harbor 65% design review phase. Statter Harbor. Work is progressing. Miller Construction is placing the fourth of five-foot lifts of rock to expedite the consolidation process. Docks and Harbors in the process of developing a lease amendment to move the Auk Bay Boatyard, which is currently right behind, help me.
Dehart's.
I was trying to hit. Thank you. And they're going to move it over to the Auk Bay loading facility. Aurora Harbor, a $2 million Alaska Harbor grant was submitted to ADOT on September 1st. We'll find out about that. As you've seen in the paper here, selection committee has chosen Central Council Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska for the what used to be the Thanor House. Man, I'm having trouble with names tonight.
Really nice to see somebody younger doing
Just like Ms. Gladyszewski said. They're working on that. They've got the cultural preservation lease property, the Acedrome properties, on September 21st. We dealt with that today. The next board meeting is on September 24th. That's to consider changes to the launch ramp permits. This last meeting was the first one that Mr. Tim Mosier attended, and I think he got to see it from a little bit different perspective, how it works. And the new chair is Tom Donick. Their next meeting is scheduled for noon. Wait, no, it's not. I don't know where it's at. Noon. September 28th. Is that this week? Thursday.
Next week.
Monday. Next Thursday. All right. Eagle Crest. Sorry this has taken so long. Getting a little fried here. They met September 3rd through August. Their expenses are down 17% from what they were last year, same time last year. The season's pass sales started September 8th. Discover Eagle Crest Day and the Porcupine Lodge grand opening was Saturday. There were several of us there, including the city manager. That was on the 19th. I would say there were several hundred people there. I'm not sure. It's hard to get a head count because they were spread out all over the place, but probably several hundred. And you got to have a pretty good look at the new road that they've constructed. And I don't know the name of the lift even. Second one from the left as you're looking from the lodge. They've also got the bike trail, the mountain bike trail. It's just a coming down trail. It's not going around the whole facility. It's just come down the hill trail. But that's in place, and it seems to be getting some attention from the riders. The opening day is scheduled to be Saturday, December 5th. They will be ready to open Saturday, 11/28, if the snow comes early. And that was long, but that's it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Van Kervis. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Affordable Housing Commission, they met on September 14th. They spent a lot of time at that meeting getting the presentation on the land management plan. And I expect that they'll be digging in and really making some concrete recommendations. The main focus is, you know, reviewing the draft housing action plan. And everybody had, this was the last opportunity, trying to make some good specific comments. And so the Affordable Housing Commission will also be meeting again this Wednesday to review the individual comments submitted by the individual commissioners and trying to package it all together as a whole. I also attended the Juneau Commission on Sustainability. They met on Wednesday, September 16th. A lot of the focus there at that meeting was on the airport sustainability plan. The Commission on Sustainability has had a member involved with working with the airport staff and the airport board. And they're really pleased with how things are shaping up, and they feel that that what may come out of the airport sustainability plan could serve as a model for other parts of the city. So we'll just have to wait and see. But bottom line is the Juneau Commission on Sustainability has been very engaged with the airport staff, and it's been a real receptive exchange of ideas, and progress is really being made. The next switched over to the energy plan, and many of the commissioners were feeling that they really need to make sure they get this right on the energy plan in terms of there's data missing on the demand side and whatnot. So the commission members actually scheduled several other work sessions to make sure that they could get as much good information into the pipeline and have good criteria so that the energy plan, when it comes to us, will have good substance and will hold up. So the commission's been working very hard on that, and hopefully we'll have something by the end of October to look at. And that's my report.
Thank you, Ms. Kroll. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Parks and Rec Advisory Committee met on September 8th. It's the first meeting they've had in a little bit, and they had a great meeting. They spent time talking about a number of issues, including the Savico Park issues, where the neighbors are being disturbed by loud parties and late at night. After hours, there was a proposal to put a gate up. The the board didn't really support that and wanted to continue to work on that and possibly recommend to close that park an hour earlier. They talked about the demolition of Pocket Park and with Mr. Watt, and they supported that, the use of that park for demolition temporarily, but they wanted to make it clear that they recommended it, that that park be stay a park after it was used for demolition of the guest apartments. They also spent time talking about the land management plan with Mr. Cheney. Their next meeting is October 7th at 6 p.m. The LEPC met on September 9th. They spent the meeting talking about preparing for their Preparedness Expo, their big event that happens every 2 years, which was on September 11th and 12th in Centennial Hall. I was out of town. I didn't get to go, but I hear it was a great event, and a lot of people went to that. They meet next on October 8th at the Bartlett in Bartlett.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Quick question for Ms. Gladyszewski. Did the PRAC have recommendations for what could or should be done with the Pocket Park to address the problems it has had for many years now?
They did not. They spent time just talking about the park in general, whether, you know, some of them actually were ready to give up the park completely and say, you know, agreeing that the park was a... was not functioning well. But in the end, they said, we need to talk about this some more. And so they recommended that it stay a park, but wanted to talk about how it could be turned into a more successful park than it has been.
Ms. Frank.
I'll be brief. I gave a report on the Bartlett Board at our last meeting. Normally they would have met last week, but the next Bartlett Board meeting is tomorrow night.
Thank you. Mr. Peel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The UAS Campus Council met on Rosh Hashanah, so I was not able to attend. Looking at the minutes, there was a discussion about some of the suicide prevention efforts in Juneau. I know that Walt Majoros, Margie Thompson, and Becky Iverson spoke, and that there was significant discussion on the council about connecting UAS students with the resources that we have available in the community. The school board had its last meeting on the 15th. They did a great deal of work on and heard from the public about the proposed STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math Elementary Charter School. The proponents of that school have done a lot of work with the budget director and dramatically reduced what the board might have to reallocate from elsewhere if that proposal is approved. They are continuing to work in the hopes that they can get that down to no reallocation from elsewhere in the district, but the number has come down with a lot of diligent work. They are also working with our law department on how that proposal might attract a lot of low-income students. Alaska Native and other minority students within the bounds of a fairly restrictive state law about how you allocate slots if there are more applicants than there are seats in a charter school. So they continue to work with our law department on that. The board has not made any final decisions on the proposal to start that charter school. They also made recommendations to us about the last few little dregs of funds in a couple of old school improvement projects. The Auk Bay School renovation had an invoice arrive unexpectedly 2 years after the project was done for a fiber optic cable. Mm. With a great deal of research, apparently that's a valid invoice. You'll see a recommendation recommending moving the very last $34,000 from the Thunder Mountain High School project to pay for that fiber optic cable. and a couple of other small closeouts, the DZ and Mendenhall River roof and reno studies to the maintenance funds, which we appropriated money tonight. That, I believe, is a whopping $5,000. And closing out the Glacier Valley and Harborview renovations, the board recommended that $16,000 that was left be put toward Auk Bay playground equipment. The in the Auk Bay reno, no playground equipment was replaced or upgraded. The site council has raised more than $30,000 for that purpose, and so the school board recommends that we match that with the last little bits of the Glacier Valley and Harborview project. So the assembly will see those come before us for appropriation. That's all I have for liaison reports.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. Ms. White.
Okay, with Juneau, thank you, Mr. Mayor. With Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau on assisted journalist articles, since their last report, they had an actual value. And the way this is calculated is if they were buying the space, it would have cost them $573,677 to buy that space. But, for example, PBS did the journalist came and did an article or show on bakeries in the Juneau area, just throwing an example out there. To keep it really brief, just under our circumstances, upcoming meetings, you have the Alaska Travel Industry Association annual convention, which will be in Juneau, October 5th through 9th. The Southeast Alaska Fish Passage Summit, which will be here October 12th to 16th. The Alaska Invasive Species Workshop from October 25th to October 30th. And then there is a Sharing Our Knowledge Conference October 29th to November 1st. And these added up, I guess I should have put the numbers with them, actually have an estimated economic impact of one of them was $632,000. So add them all together, we're hitting close to $1 million. As to the airport, I am really sorry to say that I've been frantically going through all my emails, but there seem to be a lot of emails that kind of buried my note to myself about the airport board, so I'll catch up next month.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The DIG has been having their Friday meetings. They've had four, I think. Or no, they've had three since our last assembly meeting. One was on, they talked to business owners concerning marijuana and how it might affect their businesses downtown. I don't think any decisions were made, but that was a topic of discussion. The dock and ship schedule and how they schedule the docks was a topic for another one. Roy Watt came and talked about Gastineau apartment demolition. And this coming Friday, they're going to talk about marijuana and public health and safety. The Alaska Committee, we heard a report about the Capitol building. It appears that the south and west wings are in condition to be used by the legislature at this point. The construction workers will be out of the building by November. However, if the special session is in October, there will still be some construction going, but there'll be two wings that will be available, and the opinion is that we will be able to handle a special session here in October if there is one called. Has there been one called yet? No? Excuse me.
See if I can bring up the article here from the Dispatch News, datelined about 2 hours ago. The governor plans to call a special session this fall. He has not officially declared the date yet, but it'll be 30 days' notice, so late October at the earliest.
Okay. So anyway, there's a good report that we'll be able to handle it in Juneau. We're starting work. The Alaska Committee is starting work on the legislative reception. I know it looks early, but it really isn't. I think that date was January 20, was what we scheduled, I believe. And the Alaska Committee is starting work on the economic plan and the part that I think they are finding some spots where we can do some work and maybe work with JEDC on some things the chamber on some things, but try to handle some of the parts of that economic plan. The Chamber Board, we talked this last time, we spent most of the time talking about assembly things. We talked about the Bridge Park and the whale discussion and what's happening, and that was before we had our meeting. So we talked about that, and we talked about the changes to the land use code and the Bicknell decision. And I will agree with the mayor. Our meeting in Prince Rupert was really, really nice, very good. 2 days I thought was perfect. And we did have Byron Malott, our lieutenant governor there. And we had other people, too. We talked about the ferry system a lot and things that could happen to help sustain that system. So thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Any presiding officers? We don't have any right now, do we? Okay, assembly comments and questions. Ms. Becker.
Thank you. I probably should have brought this up earlier, but I didn't. Mr. Bartholomew, perhaps you would not be prepared to do it tonight, but I would like to ask that you be able to give me an answer, and I think there's a couple of other people who had the same kind of question, of senior condominiums, where every member in a condominium building is every condo is owned by a senior. At this point, there does not seem to be any tax exemption available to that building, even though every member is charged monthly for everything that happens. You have a monthly payment, but your fuel is counted by what you use that month. So it's not like we're just putting an average in a pot. It isn't an average. It's by a personal use. And I don't know why that cannot be exempted, especially in view of the loss of exemptions. Seems to me like we should look at condominiums, and I would like to have an answer as to why that isn't happening. Thank you very much.
And you're addressing that to the city manager.
I was looking at Bob. Anyway.
Hi.
Thank you. Thank you. I should not be having a conversation with an audience member. Right?
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lee.
Okay. Anything else, Ms. Becker?
No, thank you.
Ms. White.
My brain's done.
Mr. Peel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Was privileged since our last meeting to join quite a few other assembly members at the 9/11 memorial. Also think I saw one or two of you, at least Mr. Jones, at the naming of the John R. Pugh freshman dorm on the university campus, which was a well-deserved honor and a great event for this community. I did have one question, and I apologize that I'm just seeing this now on the city manager hiring process, initial process discussion. Points 5 and 6 seem to suggest that the subcommittee will narrow the field to both the semifinalists and finalists, and the assembly will only weigh in on the final selection, which doesn't match my recollection of the discussions we had. And so I just wanted to check and see if I was understanding that right.
Go ahead, Ms. Pickman.
I did agree that I thought this was not worded looking like the assembly had enough of a part. But in all of those things, the assembly will be notified and asked to come when we do the telephone interviews and when we talk about, you know, cutting down. A lot of will be done in the HR department. They're going to check through the qualifications and not send to – we're going to still have all of them are going to be printed. We can all look at all of them. They'll be available for us. But she will go through the ones and say these do not match the qualifications that were established by the committee. And those will be not interviewed. And then we'll look at the rest of them. And, I mean, if there's 50, we probably will want to sort down to 6, 10, something like that. But if it's not any bigger than what we can handle, we'll do whoever's qualified. I mean, that's who we want to interview anyway, anyone who's qualified. But those things will all be available for the entire place. And we need to kind of make this so it looks a little clearer to what we're planning to do to keep everyone involved. And please come to our meetings. Mr. Jones has been there, and you're all welcome to come to that and add to whatever. We even let him talk.
Yeah, they did. They let me talk.
Yeah, and we let Ms. White talk, too. We're pretty nice, actually, you know. Thank you.
Question.
While we're on this subject, so are you going to amend this to say assembly interviews? Or I mean, that was my understanding, yeah. Too. And also the dates, it says the 12th to the 16th.
It's really the 16th and 17th.
Yeah, see, if we could get those dates so I can get them, you know, the dates that I need to be.
They will be the 16th scheduled. And 17th. And I should also mention that these meetings.
And when will they be 16th and 17th? Like all day? I mean.
I think we're only going to go until 1 o'clock. So it's like 9 to 1.
9 to 1 on the 16th and 17th.
I'll get that out to you to be
okay.
More accepted.
So whenever that is, because that would be great.
Right.
Yes, Mr. Jones.
So you're planning on doing at least part of the interviewing on a Saturday? The 17th of October is a Saturday.
Let me look then. I might.
16th is a Friday.
Okay, well, we don't know our dates here. We're interviewing on the 15th and 16th. Sorry.
Well,
I should look at my calendar.
I won't be in town. I'll be at the Marijuana Control Board meeting in Anchorage.
And those will be on the phone so we can be anywhere? In other words, right?
I guess that's possible to...
I mean, those are not in-person interviews, is that correct?
No, they're phone interviews, but, I mean, we can hook those up, I suppose, wherever we do the phone. Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to get number 5, 6, and 7 straightened out, the wording,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so that we're in the process.
And also in
the date,
too, yeah.
Okay, with HR.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Any other questions on that topic? Okay, where were we at? Mr. Keel?
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Craig?
One very quick thing. One, while the mayor was out of town, I had the privilege of welcoming foreign attachés to Juneau. The Department of Defense annually takes foreign attachés someplace. This year it was Alaska. They were only spending a night in Juneau, then going on to Sitka for Coast Guard event, to Jay Bear in Anchorage, to Fairbanks, and then I can't remember whether it was Kotzebue or Nome. But there were people from Europe, Africa, Asia, South America, really a phenomenal group of people. And I was able to welcome them at the Baron office. They came in the evening, came in on a huge military aircraft, and it was a very interesting event, and I appreciate being there. My second item is we heard tonight several times mention of a community meeting that's going to be held on September the 30th at Centennial Hall from 6 to 9. It is a meeting on Alaska's fiscal future. The meeting is being put together by a very diverse group of people in Juneau, and there will be economists speaking, members of the legislature speaking, members of the governor's staff speaking, and an opportunity for the general public to really hear what the fiscal situation is, what the potential revenue solutions might be, to take a look at the computer program that allows people to go in themselves and try and solve this problem, but there will be a lot of information. I think this is an important issue for Juneau, it's an important issue for the state, but Juneau in particular, and I'd like to see CBJ as one of the sponsors for this meeting.
we've got Chamber of Commerce, a number of different groups, RPEA, some different businesses, LG Rayfield Mertz, many different groups, and I would like to see us be a sponsor, and I would also propose this evening that we, from the assembly budget, contribute $250 toward the meeting. Now, they're bringing people in to speak, three different economists. They also have to put them on the hotel. We have expenses for Centennial Hall, other expenses. It's being done as inexpensively as possible, but it's not free.
And Madam Clerk, we have that in the budget?
Okay. We're hosting account.
The 30th. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 30th. So I would make that motion.
Is there any objections to the $250 expenditure? So ordered.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman Crane, Ms. Bodaszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just we heard tonight a lot of people who only recently heard of these issues with senior sales tax. We've obviously been talking about it for a long time, so that we can always do more outreach. And I did look on our website for like an FAQs about what's eligible, and I couldn't find it. And maybe it's there, but if we could look about what's currently allowed, and because people had questions about, is it, if I have kids in my house, is it for my kids or is it just for me, or can I buy my kids gas, or can I, those things. There doesn't seem to be a clear FAQ about what is eligible and what you need to do and all that. At least I couldn't find it.
Good idea.
And secondly, another suggestion we heard tonight was about a mailing to all seniors about the changes, because I think there's still not clarity, so I think we should consider that. Or ways to get the word out before next January. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Ms. Kroll?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Gladyszewski, for bringing up the mailing, because I was going to mention that as well. I think it's a good move. I also attended the September 11th memorial and found it quite moving, and really commend the Valley Rotary Club for how they organize and put the whole event together. It's quite moving, as I said. I, as you know, was somewhat reluctant about having to revisit the CWOC proposal in light of the housing, but I want to give kudos to our staff, Mr. Rory Watt here in engineering, for being so flexible and working with us, and I felt like where we ended up through the Committee of the Whole was a good place where we ended, and I think a lot of that was due to Mr. Watt's willingness to accommodate our collective desires. So thank you for that. And that does it for me. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Fernand Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're almost out of time. I'll be fast. Since we've asked DOT to change the parking signs on Channel Drive, there are people fishing there every single time I drive by. Mm-hmm. And they're parking wisely and appropriately, and they're doing what we hope would happen if we made that change, and they're fishing there. That's great. And lastly, as a result of being a candidate this time, there was a high school teacher, Mara Early, at Thunder Mountain that invited the candidates. Mr. Jones and I went, among other people that went there, and they had students that were designing campaigns and strategies and profiles and things like that. And I don't remember being invited the last time I did this, but it's the first time I've been in a classroom out of high school kids without a uniform on in a long, long time. And I found it very refreshing. And I dispelled a number of myths that they had. But I, for the most part, I'd say 4 out of 5 kids in the group enjoyed it and enjoyed having that one-on-one interaction with somebody that was either doing this or, for my own situation, who has done this. And I thought it was really, really nice. And I hope they expand that, perhaps, and do that with people that are already seated, not just candidates, but that where they have elected officials in there, and get, for the government class, get some one-on-one time or one-on-30 time. with the kids. It was great. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jones?
No, Mr. Mayor, I don't want to have to make the motion to extend the meeting, so I'm done.
Excellent. I'm getting antsy over here already. Okay. Continuation of public participation on non-agenda item. Does anybody from the public wish to speak to us on a non-agenda item tonight here? Seeing none, public comment is closed. There's no executive session. And supplemental materials is in our packet for this last item somewhere?
That was just information on the Juneau Coordinated Human Services Transportation Plan. You passed the resolution. We just didn't want to print the 100-plus page document again. It's online, and you saw it at the COW meeting.
Okay. Anything else? We are adjourned.
Oh.